I have an actual knob.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, June 27th, 2021. This is your award-winning Give Audition Media Assassination episode 1359.
This is No Agenda.
Exiting Austin and broadcasting one more time live from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all talking about the fact that Nike is of China and for China. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yeah, you want to start with that? Even though you're burning up in California? You want to start with the cultural Marxism today?
It's 68 degrees here.
Man, I saw it on the map. San Francisco is right in the middle of you got a little oasis. Everyone else is on fire.
We're fogged in.
Oh, that's
They're
even
lying
better.
To you.
That's even no. You could see it on the map. San Francisco, 70, but then you see everywhere else in California, all the way up Washington, is in the triple digits.
Most of the heat's up is the way from the right where I am.
Sorry,
which is fine with me. Yeah, it's great. It's cold. It's like 60 something.
Well, here's what I was considering. I was thinking that. Even though you're fine and I'm fine, perhaps we should do a rain stick or something because half the country doesn't seem to be fine.
Oh, that's risky at this time of year.
It's risky, but see, we'll be...
It'll all end up in Florida. Horowitz will be complaining on the next show.
Yeah, no, that's the back end of the stick. And it'll take 2 or 3 days.
Okay, let's do 2 shakes.
All right, hold on a sec. I get it. It's like... I said, whatever you do, don't pack the rain stick. We need the stick just in case for this last show, and I have it. Ladies and gentlemen, this one's okay. By the way, these are official rain sticks. They come from Utah, made by Dame Sherry. They are not to be messed with. We are professional rain stick operators. Do not, I repeat, do not try this at home. Children, always get your parents' permission. So we're going to do point it. Now, the back end is going to hit Austin, and it will hit Florida. But this is really for the west of the country.
Hey, good luck.
Hey, where's your stick faith?
I'm just saying, I'm doing it with some reservation.
Okay, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 2 shakes. Here we go. Nice. Stop. You're overshaking.
No, I didn't. I did 2, which is a double rotation. It's 4 shakes.
Okay. Whew. Sounded like 3 somehow. Well, now that our work is done here.
We can go. Thank you very much.
We might as well stick with it. I mean, even the clip custodian couldn't send me much this morning. Because the M5M has been wall-to-wall condo coverage. Wall-to-wall, everybody.
Well, do you want to do this now? Because there's a lot of clips. Like Trump gave a speech. I clipped quite a bit out of that. It is all new material.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bitter. I got some Biden clips. I've got some other things that are going on. And the condo thing, because I understand the way you're going to discuss it, is some second half of show kind of thing.
Well, no, it's not second half of show. I have multiple scenarios, which I've collected, but I don't know if we need to keep it for second half of show. It's the lead story. We need to debunk this crap.
It's the lead story for the M5M, yes.
It's their lead story.
The lead story is, where are all the dead people? I mean, they're supposed to be all these 100, did they just ground to a pulp?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. The minute they come in with the heavy machinery, then they're not even looking anymore. They're not even looking. But as you even
how about a little background? Because I don't think everybody in the world that listens to this show, because they're all over, they're spread around, know anything about this. A condo collapsed during our show.
Yes.
On a show day.
It happened on a show day. I don't think it was during the show.
Well, it wasn't during the show, but it happened on a show day.
I think the whole world knows about this. I don't think there's anyone who hasn't heard about what happened.
Okay, well, then we'll just ignore the background and just go on with
the question. The question is, what happened? That's the
Mimi's
question.
Got gave me the what I think was like, oh yes, this is interesting.
Okay,
theory.
Yeah,
during the building that period when that and the reason that we know this is because we've had experience with this problem, and we were told it was discussed with us during the building of that condo. Was a time frame when which is about 40 years ago, when the Chinese are providing a lot of raw materials, finished materials, including a specific copper piping that had, and we've run into this. The only reason we knew about it because we had I don't know what you want to call it. Hold on 1 second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Wait, is that a Zephyr? Is that the Zephyr?
Yeah, 8. It's just a standard Zephyr.
Well, hold on a second. We do need to do the official economic report. That is an 8-car Zephyr, steady as she goes. Bitcoin,
33,118. Oh, my God! Woo! Listen to that horn!
Got to do the official thing, man. All right, back to the Chinese crap.
These copper pipes had what are called micro punctures. There were miniature holes that were so small that you couldn't detect them. Over time, they would maybe gradually get a little bigger, but they'd send out these little sprays of water, and they would under pressure, and they would soak things. It would ruin buildings. And there was lots of these, and it wasn't discussed much in the construction industry because who knows how much of these or how many of these pipes are still in play around the United States.
That I think that is probably the right answer. I mean, I've heard some people talk about this thing called palling or palling, P-A-L-L-I-N-G, which is, as the story goes, the rebar starts to corrode from salt water, then the rebar expanding in the concrete, and then it starts to crack, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
Seems.
Well, when you have these micro, when there's water coming out of these pipes,
yeah,
over a long period of time, it would get into the cement, the rebar would corrode, and that effect would take place.
Hmm.
It would just wreck the structure.
Well, let's listen to a few short clips of what the M5M was spewing. This has got to be my favorite, and this shows the ineptitude of the American public.
This study from a researcher at Florida International University found that the building constructed 40 years ago on reclaimed wetlands has been sinking at a rate of 2 millimeters a year for the last 3 decades.
Now, this story has been tweeted so many times. Oh my God, it was sinking 2 millimeters. Do Americans know how small 2 millimeters really is? And if you take 2 millimeters per year for 30 years, as the report just said.
No, was it 2 millimeters per year?
Per year. Yeah.
Okay.
2 millimeters per year over 30 years. They said 30. It didn't take 40. It doesn't matter. So that would be 60 millimeters, which is 2.3 inches. Let's look at a building I know very well, which is the building in San Francisco, the Millennium Tower. That right. thing sunk 16 inches and was tilting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So stop with it. Stop with the sinkage story.
Well, there's also the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which was built dubiously on similar soils, and it sunk like a foot in the middle when they had to
yeah, fix it's not, it. It shouldn't have to just break and collapse onto itself. Here's a CBS.
Not for 2 inches, no.
Here's CBS with the Surfside mayor.
But tonight, people here say they are not giving up, including Surfside's mayor, Charles Burkett. I spoke with him just moments ago.
It is a catastrophe. There's no doubt. It's an unmitigated catastrophe. It's like a bomb went off.
Now, the bomb went off theory, I looked for that because this looks so much like a controlled demolition. We've seen it. Now, if you look at the video, lots of flashes in floors below. I'm surprised no one has brought up the thermite yet, but that may come. We only have one video, so that's kind of iffy. But my favorite, which you pointed out in the newsletter, is climate change. Yeah, it's got to be climate change.
Yeah, they're really doing their best to come up with climate change.
Even Fox News This is Fox Business.
The building inspection here in Florida is very, very rigid and very, very strict. I think that right now, with the technology that we have, this is a unique situation. This is a unique problem. This is a unique accident. I'm 58 years old. I've been here working since the late 80s. There has nothing like this that has happened here before. This is a situation that we will go through in detail. Really, this is, I think, at the end of the day, a very special case. We have not seen similar cases occur here in the neighborhood.
Kobe, you know, I think everyone would like it to be a unique case that isn't going to happen again. But of course, things are only unique until they're not. Can you be sure that it is a unique case, or could there be a change in the land on which these buildings have been built?
Please.
Or some other environmental
Fish.
Factor that may affect
Fish.
Other buildings? In other words, when can we actually say this was a one-of-a-kind event versus something we could see again?
We may not be able to do that. The research and the development of the environment, and the research and the development of the engineering and the soil in this case, we need to look at it very carefully, because at the end of the day, the analysis of how the soil does move and or the building settlement is something that we track.
Yeah, that's all climate change crap as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he had this interesting thing at the beginning. I mean, if you're going to do your whole spiel based on a false premise, he says at the very beginning, oh, we have very strict inspections. And the last time that building was inspected was 2018, and they were very concerned about it.
They had issues. Yeah, there's that.
What does he mean by very strict? Every 3 years?
But why do they not take the obvious, the very obvious things? And why are they pushing it towards this? I mean, this is even Kennedy, my former colleague at MTV.
But I want to touch on something that Brian said. And for people who are living in this part of Florida, it has to be terrifying, because if you don't know how this happened, then the next question is, well, could this happen to every other building? You know, what are the structural flaws that allowed for something like this to happen? There was a report in the New York Post about a researcher who had been studying the climate effects and potential rising seawater levels.
Seriously?
And this building had been sort of targeted because they realized that it had been sinking 2 millimeters
Ooh!
Every year for about 30 years. So they're not sure how these things work together, but a lot of nervous people will want answers as soon as possible, because they don't want that to happen to adjacent buildings or anything in coastal proximity where this sort of disintegration could lead to mass casualties.
And I find it interesting that they are using the same either expert or talking points on Fox News as CBS, because the building is 40 years old. Yet the report is easily picked up as the same copy when they say 30 years old. 2 millimeters.
Well, they're talking
about
it's been
years.
Sinking for 30 years.
Yeah, I just don't
Why hasn't it been sinking for 40 years?
Yes, well, there you go.
What happened to the other 10 years? Why wasn't it sinking? Then they can attribute it to climate. Well, it took 10 years before the climate change thing started. You know, the rising sea levels, that's what it is.
Yes, and the fish are flopping around the condos.
Fish,
yes.
The fish.
So here we go. Here's the two other theories. And by the way, I think yours is what are those? What is that called again? When the copper?
They're microfissures. They're very micro. These copper pipes had little pinholes that were microscopic that would leak water and in some cases spray an extremely fine stream.
Nice.
It's just junk from China.
So this is
analyzing.
Here's the no agenda. Thesis is Chinese copper, right?
Specifically Chinese copper pipes. Chinese copper would be raw material.
Okay, Chinese copper pipes. I'm putting that in the show notes. In the newsletter snidely made a comment that of course I would be saying it was a directed energy weapon.
I did not.
That's exactly what I
said. I did not say you.
One of our analysts. Thanks, John. Gee, who could that be? But no, I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to surprise you. It was not a directed energy weapon, because we would have seen, you know, rods from God, all of that stuff. I looked for it, no. But there was a notice to airmen up in Alaska on the same day, warning of HAARP activity. Now that station that was supposed to be shut down, they keep doing stuff. I believe they
I thought they shut this down years 2014. Ago and they keep doing stuff.
Yeah, it's continuously active. It's continuously active. So with HAARP, as we
maybe
all
they
know,
can't turn it off. How about that?
Well, here's the I mean, I love this theory. With HAARP, they shoot off high frequency radiation off the ionosphere, and they're pretty good at targeting because they can create earthquakes. This is the earthquake machine. I've talked about it for 14 years. And the theory is that Jared and Ivanka have a condo right nearby, and it was just they just missed. They got the wrong one. Kind of like the kind of like when they hit the Chinese embassy in Yugoslavia or Croatia.
Yeah.
I like that
or Bosnia. I forget what it was.
Yeah. And that's,
but it was hit by a missile.
Yes. So this was hit by an earthquake, and sadly it missed. So they live and a lot of people died. And then the final one, which has just got to be whoever launched this. I love you for setting this up this way. There was a tweet from John McAfee from June 8th, of which there is no evidence the tweet actually existed. There's a lot of screenshots. There's nothing on the Wayback Machine. And I will read the tweet. June 8th. If anything ever happens to me, please know that the 31 terabyte of files I have are located on hard drives in my condo near 88th Street and Collins Avenue, just north of Miami Beach. Whoever did this is genius. Because of course you look at 88th and Collins, and that's the location.
Sure.
So, I love how John McAfee is messing with us even from the grave. He would be so proud.
Somebody with Photoshop is messing with us.
You don't even need Photoshop. You can just change the DOM on the source page of a Twitter page, and you can put it in yourself. Very easy to falsify. But I thought that was one of the best. And the number of people who are falling for this one is insane.
People fall for everything. It's ridiculous.
I'm like, well, the tweet was deleted. Well, show this. There's always
the tweet
evidence.
Was deleted by who?
Yeah, and why? Why that one? Why that one? So, anyway, I don't want to make light of what is clearly tragic. I might want to point out that they have a lot of problems with fires. They can't seem to get the fires out underneath the
There's an
the
underground
building.
Garage that
yeah, filled
with cars in it.
What kind of cars?
I don't know what kind of cars.
How about a couple of Teslas?
Oh, this thing will be burning forever.
3 to 4 days. Who knows how many Teslas were in that building? Well-to-do people in the building, I believe. It's right on the beach there, so it can't be a cheap outfit. So maybe they got some Teslas.
Oh, yeah. Teslas would be crush the car and then, Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So anyway, we don't have to do much more than that. The mainstream media will confuse you all day long. And I think they're going to go with climate change. There's no way they will go with the China thing. No way.
Of course not.
No way.
So my quote at the beginning of the show has to do with the CEO of Nike.
Yes, this was
irresponsibly making that comment.
Well, no,
which I think because they're associating, they're going to associate, not at least the right is going to associate Nike with slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to have to do black American basketball players who are all bought and sold by Nike
mm-hmm.
are going to have to consider the fact that they're supporting slavery.
Yeah. Yes.
How is that going to work? How does that fly?
Well, this is going to be covered up, what he said. In fact, I tried to get a recording of it because he said it on a quarterly conference call, I believe. I couldn't find it.
It'll show up.
It will eventually. So his exact quote was, "We are the largest sport brand there, and we are a brand of China and for China. And the biggest asset we have in China is the consumer equity. Consumers feel a strong, deep connection to the Nike, Jordan, and Converse brands in China, and it's real." So, this is what is so fun about this. And this is I think this is part of the environmental, social, corporate governance goals that they have somehow. You know?
So slavery is okay. It's not considered in there. Shouldn't that be in the social governance part?
Yes, it is. It's slavery is okay. They don't care.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as it's listed on there, it's okay.
They don't care. They really don't. Well, is there anything else? I mean, it's kind of weird because we can stick with ESG stuff, of which I have a few prime examples. And then go into Trump, because I do want to hear it. Because I tried to watch some of it, and I hope you got good clips, because it was quite tedious at the opening.
Well, the whole thing. Well, I don't have my sheet here, but I did some observations to make it. Put them on a little sheet.
Well, here's what I'll do. I got a couple of short clips, one disaster, and then we can go into that. You'll like this, because this is all of the corporations. I guess that's where I was going to come from. If people want to support Nike and their use of slave labor, or their endorsement of slave labor, or they're looking the other way, or whatever it is, they can do that. Of course, it's very easy for everyone to say, you know, we're just not going to buy Nike. We're going to buy Adidas or some other brand.
There's a lot of them. Fila's, Reebok. I mean, there's a ton of competition. Pumas.
Yeah. The power is within.
And the best. There is one good brand.
Crocs. Skechers. I was going to say Skechers. Crocs. Have you seen
Crocs I don't like.
The new high-heeled Crocs are all the rage.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about the high-heeled Crocs again.
We didn't. We talked about it after the show, and you were very interested then.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's just go through some cultural Marxism ESG crap that's all around us, with some wokeness from the Federal Aviation Administration.
Yeah, they're doing this throughout government and throughout much of America. So this group advising the FAA, they say, instead of saying airman, say aviator. Instead of saying cockpit, flight deck, fabricated instead of man-made, all in the sake of being more inclusive and gender neutral. It's the PC police coming for more of our culture, this time coming for the aviation industry.
Cockpit. I mean, that's a stretch, man. Do they think the cock in cockpit is a masculine thing? Is that the idea? And where does cockpit?
It's unbelievable if that's true.
What is the etymology of cockpit, actually?
Well, let's look it up. Let's consult the Book of Knowledge.
Okay, let's see what it is. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay. I'm very curious where that came from. A pit enclosed space for fighting cocks.
Oh, it would be for chickens and roosters.
Roosters, yeah. Right. Anyway. Well,
roosters, so what?
It's not allowed, man. Can't say cockpit. I mean, most aviators, and we say aviators. It's not even something that needs to be changed.
Nobody says
airmen. Yes, even the NOTAM is a acronym for Notice to Airmen, NOTAM. Oh, okay. So that'll.
What about the women? They don't get. They no. Go drive through it.
They can do whatever they want. They don't have to pay attention. Screenshot here in the show notes from a large hospital system. It's internal, and someone was nice enough to give me a screenshot. And here it says, "Are you proudly vaccinated? Show it in your email signature. Check out the new email signature template options in the brand center with new vaccination badges and guidelines for adding your pronouns. Remember to always download the template rather than copying one from a colleague." So, in addition to he, she, they, them, Zer, fully vaccinated, that's being promoted by corporate America to put that on your email signature. I believe this to be a bad trend.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Amidst all of the...
Why don't you put Heil Hitler in there while you're at it?
There you go. Amidst all of the controversy around... what was I going to say now? I completely lost it. I completely lost it when...
You lost your train of thought.
Well, I'm trying to get into this MasterCard. Oh, yes. The voting, the U.S. Attorney General Department of Justice saying they will sue Georgia over their racist voter law. Of course they're going to lose that. It's a complete distraction. So we didn't look at Kamala looking like an idiot at the non-border. But while we while we have this, you know, and I, obviously it, what's being said is, well, you're that's one of the main points, which is so ridiculous. You're requiring ID. Black people don't have IDs. That's in essence what's being
black
said.
Black people are too dumb to get IDs.
They're too dumb to get IDs, right?
You're trying to protect them from their own stupidity. That's the Democrat way.
Well, names and identity are just a thing of the past with these people. A proud member of the World Economic Forum, and I believe part of the Great Reset is MasterCard. They are on the board. The CEO of MasterCard is always in all of the meetings over there at the Davos Group. Here's their latest commercial.
For transgender people, a secure payment doesn't mean protecting yourself from someone buying sneakers with your card. No. If you're transgender, a secure payment means paying for something without being judged, questioned, disrespected, humiliated, harassed, even assaulted, simply because the name on your card doesn't match how you identify. This is about more than just keeping a card safe. It's about keeping us safe. True Name by MasterCard. The first card that allows you to display your chosen name because that's who you truly are.
This is great. So you can have any name you want on the MasterCard True Name MasterCard. So if you identify as female and your name is Joe, you can have it, you know, read Josephine. I'm not quite sure how that works when they
can't
ask.
Can't you do that anyway?
I don't know. Can you? Can you use a fake name when you sign up for a credit card?
It's not a fake name if that's your name.
No, but these are chosen names. So these are not, you know, the big problem with a lot of trans people is being able to change their names officially across the board. It's not easy.
Who says?
Well, I know for a fact that it's not easy when Tina has taken her 3 years to complete every single piece of paperwork to get her name changed everywhere. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, but I just on the card. I mean, you fill out the when you fill out the form, it's just a simple form.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Well, maybe there's nothing new here. They're just marketing it that way, which is kind of smart.
My guess.
Yeah, kind of smart. If you really want to be on board and you really want to show your stuff, NASDAQ is the place for you.
By
with
the way,
your corporate. Yes.
Deep cash. Cash.
Cash?
Use cash.
No, that's ending. Cash is over. We lost that during the pandemic. If you want to promote your environmental, social, corporate governance goals, the place to do that and the partner for the future is the NASDAQ.
Today, global markets are challenging traditional assumptions like never before. There is a new, accelerated sense of responsibility, sustainability, and social equity. At NASDAQ, we call it the era of impact, and we're at the forefront of it, innovating technology, data, and insights to help you deploy an ESG strategy to be seen as the company you aspire to be.
Now, did you catch that last bit? We will. Yep. So NASDAQ will help you seem to be the company you aspire to be.
To help you deploy an ESG strategy to be seen as the company you aspire
seen.
To be.
Seen. Don't worry, we'll cover it up.
It's seen, not seem, though. It's not seem.
No, it's seen. It doesn't matter. Seen or seem is both just as bad.
Yeah, well, that's a standard marketing ploy. You want to be seen a certain way.
Well, sorry. How about really doing the work, people? But
nobody cares about that.
The big controversy came this morning. It happened either earlier today or yesterday in the European Union. There was supposed to be a meeting between the Council, the Starfleet Command, about Russia. Specifically about Russia, and Viktor Orban, president of Hungary, was in the meeting, and the meeting turned into a shout fest and a whole anger situation about a new bill that that Orban signed into law. I'll read you a little bit from this here. In a very tense and at times emotional European summit, EU leaders joined forces against Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban over his government's new anti-LGBT law. With Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte going as far as suggesting Hungary should leave the bloc if it doesn't agree with the EU's core values. Last week, the Hungarian parliament passed a new law that bans the portrayal of homosexuality and sex reassignment in school education material and TV programs addressed to people under 18 years of age. The Hungarian government argues the law primarily targets pedophilia, but the conflation between the LGBT community and pedophiles has been harshly denounced by human rights experts and civil society for perpetuating damaging stereotypes. So this is still Pride Month, and we're going to excoriate everybody on every single view you have. And in this case, the Dutch Prime Minister took it to a new level. Here's a Euronews report.
Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte had some strong words for his Hungarian counterpart, Viktor Orban, on Thursday. Respect LGBT rights or leave the European Union. The dressing down came after bloc leaders confronted Orban over a law that bans schools from using materials deemed to promote homosexuality.
It's my intention on this point to bring Hungary to its knees. They have to realize they are either a member of the European Union and so a member of the community of shared values that we are. That means that in Hungary, in Budapest, in all of proud Hungary, which is a beautiful country, that nobody can be discriminated.
So the controversy is that he said, we need to bring Hungary to its knees. I even got notes from people that I know this morning. Holy crap. What kind of totalitarian crap is that going down there? And I need to let everybody know something. In Dutch, this is a very unfortunate translation for the prime minister. In Dutch, it's a very common saying to say, I'm going to bring that person to its knees or that situation to its knees. It's not, it doesn't have the same weight as we're going to bring you to your knees, you slaves. Not quite the same thing. But it's being interpreted that way by everybody. That he's a totalitarian nut. He's actually a douchebag. He's a wimpy guy who used to be in an HR, in an HR department for some corporation, and somehow he worked his way up through the political ranks.
Anyone can be president.
And I have to remind people that the Dutch have very anachronistic terms that they still use. For instance, kanker and cholera. So. And which translates to cancer, kanker, and cholera is cholera. It is very common for someone to say, hey, kanker op, which means cancer off, or krijg de cholera, get cholera. It's a bit
antiquated, yes.
It's integrated. It's just people are like, people don't have the same weight as when you could actually get cholera and die in the old days. So I think that's kind of where this comes from. But this was the president of Starfleet Command, von der Leyen, as she took this very seriously with a fun little kicker at the end.
The Hungarian bill is a shame.
A shame.
And I've instructed my responsible commissioners to write a letter to the Hungarian authorities concerning or expressing our legal concerns before the bill enters into force. This bill clearly discriminates against people on the basis of their sexual orientation.
Did you get that from what I just read, that this bill discriminates people to not have...
No, it just prohibits promoting homosexuality in the schools.
Yes, well, that's not the way the EU sees it.
I mean, that's the way we do the same thing in most of the local school districts. We don't bring, I mean, it's not everywhere. Some places, they try to convince... It's just, it's a touchy subject, but it doesn't seem unreasonable.
Of their sexual orientation. And it goes against all the values, the fundamental values of the European Union. And
really?
This is human dignity, it is equality, and is the human fundamental rights. So we will not compromise on these principles.
If they're going to do, I'm okay with that. I mean, if that's really what you want to do and your community wants to have this taught to children, that's fine. But we also then must teach children the central banking system. If you really want to know what's inequitable, unfair, and full of crap, you should teach them that as well.
And I have said it before, and I want to repeat it. I strongly believe in a European Union that is clear that where you are who you want to be, and I strongly believe in a European Union where you are free to love whom you want. And I believe in a European Union that embraces diversity. This is the foundation of our values.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, when my daughter, when she was living with her girlfriend, they couldn't even hold hands in the city of Rotterdam on certain streets because of the immigrants, predominantly Muslim, who will spit on you, yell at you, become violent. So I'm not so sure where this pacifist love who you want to love thing comes from in the EU, because it's not true.
So I will use all the powers of the Commission to ensure that the rights of all EU citizens are guaranteed, whoever you are and wherever you live.
That's my favorite. One guy. Oh, yes. Yes. Clap for her. No one jumped in. Yeah. All right. Stonewall. This is just Pride Month. It's just one after the other. The Stonewall Foundation, very big LGBTQ nonprofit, is now bullying employers into pushing its pro-trans agenda on social media in exchange for a higher ranking in Stonewall's annual top 100 places to work list. You see how it works?
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's really good.
Well, I'll continue with my thesis that I don't think sexual orientation should be taught to a fifth grader.
We never got it when I was a fifth grader.
When you're a fifth grader, you're a goofball. Why would you be introduced to this sort of thing?
Total goofball. Yeah. Well, it's to change something for sure. All right. Do you feel that President Trump had any new material?
He had a lot of new material. Really? Most of the material was new.
When did it come?
Because he also brought out, I have to say this,
the first half hour I watched, 20 minutes, and it wasn't new. It wasn't funny. I didn't get it.
Yeah, you had to watch. You didn't watch.
I didn't watch it. Yeah,
you didn't watch anything. You just watched a little bit. You're trying to move out of Austin.
I watched the RSBN coverage for about half an hour until he came on stage. I saw it, but you know, it looked like a Trump rally. But just
Did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yes, I did. I did. Were there AOC comment? You mean?
Not the whole thing.
I didn't see the whole thing.
Did you see Dr. Frank?
No.
That's what you should have seen. I actually clipped a good part of his thing. I'm going to send it to you to listen to.
Okay.
I have to say, Dr. Frank, I'd like to know, somebody in the chat room has to give me his full name so I can go to his website, because he's got to have some dynamite material. This guy, Dr. Frank, comes out and he does the whole deconstruction, reverse engineering of the election. It's a jaw dropper.
Really?
Yeah, if you were kind of, rigged, I don't know if it's rigged or not, you listen to this guy's lecture, and he's a character. He's like, you got a cowboy hat on or something. He's
just Frank Gorshin. Gorshin?
Frank Gorshin. Frank Gorshin, the impressionist?
I'm just reading what the trolls give me. I don't know if that's the right one.
So it was a jaw dropper. And he has a punchline to his whole lecture. I don't even want to give it away, but, oh, man. I should have clipped this one little part and played it because it's so funny. But anyway, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, I do have a Marjorie Taylor Greene just listening to her. She's a real firecracker, somebody called her. I have to agree. This is Trump. This is Trump pre-MT Greene.
Now, let me give you a few reasons why the D.C. swamp hates me so much. Because I want to impeach Joe Biden, throw him out. And I want to expel Maxine Waters. And I want to fire Dr. Anthony Fauci. You know, there's a lot of people that need to be fired.
Dr. they had all these chants throughout the whole presentation.
Well, there was lock her up, and it was
this was fire Fauci.
But do you find this interesting, what she just said? I mean, isn't that what everybody on Twitter says who's on the right? They say the same thing.
Yeah, no, she's I just like her.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
But she's kind of a character. I mean, she's just interesting enough.
I like her as well, and I didn't at first, and I do. But this, to me, is just like, okay, I heard this for 4 years.
Well, that's just a rally. Come on.
Yes, exactly. What's the point?
I'm going to give you another one that you've heard before. This is the, then I'll get to the ones that are new.
Okay.
This is the Trump opener, and this is, I think, going to be his theme for all these that he does. And it's got to begin. Now, he did an hour 34. And the first half hour I could see was, you know, it was a little rehash. He started getting into the new stuff when the prompter started wiggling in the wind and he had to start ad-libbing more.
By the way.
And he went back.
By the way, his hair, phenomenal. I don't know what he's done. They've changed something. That shit stays down in the wind. It's a good.
Oh, it was windy too. You could great see hair trying
job.
To lift.
No, great. He was trying to get some air, but it was a great hair job. No doubt about it.
And it was a little gray. He was graying. Mm-hmm. They're graying him out.
The color, the texture, the density covering up the baldness, just the way it was. I mean, there must have been super Velcro or something. This was really new. This was new technology. Trump's well, actually, hair technology.
One of the original hairsprays will do that.
Yes, Aquanet.
Aquanet, yeah. Aquanet is the...
You're telling me?
It's like glue.
Excuse me. You know that I was held hostage by my hair for half of my professional career.
Oh, I think you still are.
No, I have very short hair now.
Well, most people wish they had your hair.
Correct.
So let's... okay, here comes another slow-moving train from China. Okay, let's listen to Trump opener. This is what's going to be. He's going to bitch and moan. This is going to be his theme for the next year.
Crime is surging. Murders are soaring. Police departments are being gutted. Illegal aliens are overrunning their borders. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Our poor borders, they were so perfect. They were so good. Drug cartels and human traffickers are back in business like they've never been before. They're doing numbers that they've never even thought possible. And just a few short months ago, drugs were way down. Human trafficking was way down. It was all way down. It was all they had to do is go away for a little while. It was beautiful. But the schools, when you take a look at schools and you look at all of the things that happened, left-wing indoctrination camps, critical race theory is being forced on our military. Gas prices are spiking, inflation is skyrocketing, and China, Russia, and Iran are humiliating our country. Joe Biden is destroying our nation right before our very own eyes. The number one priority for everyone who wants to save America is to pour every single ounce of energy you have into winning a gigantic victory in the midterms and in 2024.
This is, it's interesting you play this. There's a general theory that goes around. The X-22 report was one of the so-called QAnon podcasts that was kicked off Apple. So, of course, I listened to that to see what it is. It's very real.
How does that work?
Well, podcasting 2.0, saving podcasting, so we can still listen to it in the regular world. Not in Apple's dream fantasy. But it kind of goes like this. President Trump has been waiting to make his reentry because everyone had to feel it. We had to feel the pain of what this administration, this fake, I'm just retelling the way the story goes.
Of this fake
presidency. And they continue to say that in the August, September timeframe, everyone will be thrown in jail. The sealed indictments are opened up and Trump is reinstated as president. But it's part of this. This is specifically, well, Trump, he hasn't done anything because he needs to let everybody feel the pain. Only when you feel the pain do you understand that it has to change. I know.
Love these people. It's great. Persistence.
Hey, and the military critical race theory, I was thinking about that he mentioned. That makes total sense. The military is nothing more than the front for the military industrial complex. All these companies have to be woke. It's not the military, it's the companies that make up the military. I think that's the problem. That's where it's coming from.
Maybe. But we'll skip right to this. This is Trump talking about the woke military.
Ooh, okay.
They are woke. They're woke. Our military will be incapable of fighting and incapable of taking orders. You're going to tell some private, stand up. You stand up right now. I'm not standing up. You can't talk to me that way, General. We're going to have a whole different ballgame here. I don't know how they're going to work that out. The private's going to tell the general, don't you ever speak to me that way, General. I'll kick your ass. That's our military. That's where we're going. Woke. I know some of these guys. Boy, they changed quickly. They went right over to the other side. I heard that about a couple of them. The military brass have become weak and ineffective leaders, and our enemies are watching and they're laughing.
Woke.
Yeah, well, that sounded like insubordination, what she was talking about there, not wokeness. But, okay. Well,
I think he's trying to make it. He also, this is a clip that's kind of offbeat. This is him, I think he says Bigly.
Okay.
And then he says Big League.
Well,
but I'm telling you, I listened to this clip three or four times trying to figure out what he's saying here. And it's got nothing. It's not part of the new material. It's just something he threw in. And I think he's experimenting with saying Bigly.
Mm. Didn't it start initially with people misunderstanding him saying Big League? And then and just became Big League?
And then Scott Adams took it to an extreme and wrote a book about it.
Yeah, very good. Which is why he got the invite to the White House, of course.
So listen to Trump on Big League.
The press secretary with the extremely red hair, remember when she said, she laughed at when Space Force was benching, she laughed, remember that? And she got decimated by everybody when she laughed, because we need Space Force. You know, Russia's up there, Big League, and China's up there, Big League, and we were just sitting around watching them.
No, he says Big League twice. I hear it distinctly. I don't think he says Big League. I think it says Big League.
All right. The first time he says it sounds like Big League.
It does.
More than Big League.
Well, it does. It does. It does.
He, by the way, uses the word decimated too often.
It's also incorrect. And what he's trying to say is...
you know, it's one of these things. Look at Merriam-Webster. They probably corrected it.
Oh, have they already changed it?
Technically incorrect. I agree. But you know it. I know it. Probably half the No Agenda listeners know it. That decimated means... taking out of 10%.
Let's read the Webster dictionary. Decimate, definition: to select by lot and kill every 10th man, to exact a tax of 10%, to reduce drastically, especially in number, and to cause great destruction or harm. So they're kind of bringing it towards that.
Yeah, and it's going to be the 10% thing is going to be over.
And I was wrong. The four-month anniversary came and went on the 25th. I believe we put in the Red Book, which I found because, you know, we're packing up, that Psaki would last 4 months. So she's outlasted the prediction.
Here is Trump. Trump did a shtick that went on. I had to cut this way down. It was one of these meandering shaggy dog stories about Biden's State of the Union kind of quasi-State of the Union address, and he's condemning the media. The media had a good showing about, he counted about 20 cameras, and you know, he's pointing them out, doing his normal thing there. But listen to this little bit. This is Trump on the Biden State of the Union.
I watched the semi-State of the Union. It was sort of a weird State of the Union. Nancy Pelosi had the single largest mask I've ever seen on a human being. It's the biggest. She had a mask. It went up to here. I don't know if it was three masks or one, but it was the biggest mask I've ever seen. But I'll never forget. I watched and I said, that's sad. I said, he's going to be killed. by the media. Then I turned on to fake news CNN and MSDNC, and they said, Fox hasn't been so great either, have they? Huh? And they said, I thought he was just going to get tested. It was a terrible evening. I turned on to a couple of the competing networks, call them, and they're saying, not since FDR has there been a speech like this. You know, FDR was, I thought he had a magnificent presence, right? He would sit up there, and his voice was beautiful and booming and elegant. And you remember so many of his phrases, right? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It was so beautiful. Think of that. The way it was said, you always remember it. You can't forget it. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Okay. And they were comparing Biden to FDR. They are fake. They are so fake and so pathetic. And there's so many of them up there. There's so many of
them. Yeah, the story amongst the, quote, patriots, because that's what they are. They're not QAnon. It's the patriots. Is Trump is about to launch all of his platforms. Now, he already signed up and has been verified on Rumble. That sent a tremor through the industry.
Oh, Rumble!
Yeah. So let's see how long it takes for them to get the old DNS hijack from the Department of Justice.
No, that'll never happen.
Well.
Rumble's just, it's not really.
But there's rumblings. That there's
rumblings at Rumble. He's gonna be on BitChute, I'm sure.
Some kind of platform that former President Trump will be either launching or joining, or yeah, it's coming. I'm just telling what I'm hearing.
Okay, so now before I play the last clip, which is the hydroxy clip, which is funny because it's something that we talked about from day one and recommended finally concluded was what we recommended from the beginning.
Yes,
which you'll get a kick out of. But but to be balanced, he does have a gaffe.
Okay.
So he had a few gaffes, but this was the worst one. This is the Trump gaffe, Trump gaffe, not two, but the original. You'll hear it in here.
That ended the evil empires and that sent a brave young man from Ohio to a plant. Think of it.
What? To a plant? As in a factory plant? Or
he
what?
Screwed up and he did it and he knew it. He did it. You can listen to the longer version of this clip, and this is Trump gaffe two, and then I'll tell you what happened.
That ended the evil empires and that sent a brave young man from Ohio to a plant. Think of it. Said, you know who the man I'm talking about is? Who am I talking about?
Paul Revere.
Do you know who it is? The stars and stripes on the face of the moon. Do you know who the man is, right? You know?
Oh, it was a prompter misread. It was supposed to be planet.
Well, I think what it was, I think it may have been on the prompter as planet.
Which is not a planet. The moon
is not a planet. And he choked in the middle of seeing the wrong word.
Just a fucking said plant. Nice. Which is all wrong.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. So he was like, he was bitching about the prompter quite a bit. So here's the hydroxy thing. He concluded, I think this is a real... I like this clip because it was exactly what we said a year ago.
Hunter, remember, where's Hunter? The virus came from a Chinese lab. Hydroxychloroquine actually works. Remember? I made a mistake on hydroxy. I should have said... Hydroxychloroquine is a disaster. Please do not use it. Yes. They would have said. Instead, I said it works. And now reports are coming out that it works. They probably destroyed a lot of lives.
Yeah. Yeah. We said that multiple times, didn't we? It's like, just say it's shit, man. Then people will look into it. That,
yeah.
It's hydroxy more even so than ivermectin, which I think is really, that has to come to account for the medical industry. The pharmaceutical industry,
news media
in particular, And a lot of, you know, it's kind of like the thing we don't talk about in the news media. It's like, well, we really can't discuss that it was basically us doing that. And sometimes you'll catch a clip where someone says, well, at the time, it's like everyone knew that was just bullcrap. So we just reported that. You know, yeah. Just show you the follow on Me Too attitude of these people.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got from the Trump, I think. There may be something else throughout here. Not really. I got some Biden clips.
Well, do you want to stick with political and since we've done...
we got a little something in between.
Okay.
Just a one-shot clip.
Yeah.
You heard this clip, but this is a very funny clip. This is Brett or Eric, one of the two, Weinstein's, being presented with the idea of your concept of podcasting 2.0.
Yes, I'm so happy for you to bring this one up. Yes, many people, ever since the Weinsteins have been gotten strikes against their YouTube channel, went on Joe Rogan to talk about this along with Dr. Corey, people have been, because I see it, people have been tweeting Brett saying, hey, podcasting 2.0, you should check it out. Value for value, podcasting 2.0. And I got very excited when I received this clip.
Have you talked to Adam Curry about decentralizing your podcast?
Is that her? Is that Heather who's saying that? I guess it is, right?
Have you talked to
Adam Curry? Yeah, it's his wife. It sounds like her. Yes.
Have you talked to Adam Curry about decentralizing your podcast?
Well, YouTube is looking to atomize our podcast, but I think this is a terrible idea.
Do you want to actually respond to the question?
I'm not sure what the question means.
Yeah. I mean, you're a huge fan of Adam Curry.
Yeah, but how?
This is where I'm all excited. I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic. He's a big fan. All I need to do is explain how we can save the world.
But how?
I don't know.
There must be something I don't know. He must have a project that.
Okay. I'm not Adam Curry. No.
Curtis. I don't know who we're talking about.
I'm thinking about Adam Curtis, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are.
Okay. I don't know who Adam Curry is. You can tell us.
Yeah. Tell us. Yeah.
Big letdown. You think? Ego destroyed immediately. I mean, what I thought was coming was even worse. Would have been Adam Carolla. Because that often happens, but okay, I'll take the confusion with Adam Curtis. But bottom line, get your head out of your asses, Weinsteins. There's stuff we can do stuff here. We can help you instead of we're getting the platform. YouTube wants to atomize us, which they're running on. They're running on that.
He felt the need to bring up this atomize idea. I know this type of person. And he thought it was cute. He's cute. Well, you know, to avoid the initial question and go into the Google, YouTube,
exactly.
Atomizing is just because it was a cute little idea that he had to get out.
Professor,
this is an amateur hour podcasters because they have. It's just like they're. I don't know what it is, but it's something about. You have a bad concept, but it's in your craw, and you really can't. Just drop it. You have to bring it in, even though it's out of context and out of sequence. Mm-hmm. It's just bad. Yeah. Those guys are hopeless.
Well, I'm still very, very open to helping them. But
well, I did get a tremendous ISO out of it.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah, because I got all these ISOs. I don't want to do the ISO.
Oh, now, I see. I'll bet you it's this one.
Huge fan
of Adam Curry.
Yeah.
Boom.
No, that's not a boom. It's stolen valor.
Stolen from who?
No, it's like I'm taking stolen from Adam Curtis, of course. It's stolen valor. It's not good. I will not do it. I'm a purist. Well, I hope they get there.
Where were we headed?
Biden. I'm going to do something about Biden. Biden has his problems, man.
Well, you want to hear a few Biden clips?
You might as well. Sure. I mean, this is the time. I mean, hey, this is unfortunately the M5M have, and it all plays. I'm a little tired and disgusted by it because Trump is doing these rallies. he knows that the media picks it up. So now we're just going through a whole cycle because Biden is uninteresting. There's nothing else really going on, hence the wall-to-wall condo coverage. And now it's going to be condos and Trump. It's boring. It's super boring. It really is.
It's better for their numbers.
Well, that's why they're doing it.
They can't do Biden because they're going to... We do Biden.
We do
Biden. Let's listen to a few Biden gaffes.
Okay.
This is the Biden... this is the I'm going to use this one for... This is the LGBT... You notice when he does, he goes LGBT, and then he stumbles, and he goes... Q plus. It's like two different things.
Like alpha, beta, kappa.
So here we go with the mumble. Here's the mumble.
I want to thank Secretary. Well, first of all, I want to say to Chasten, belated happy birthday, Chasten.
What the hell? Let me see there that again. This is dumb.
I want to thank Secretary. Well, first of all, I want to say to Chasten, belated happy birthday, Chasten.
What is he saying? What does this have to do with LGBTQ? He's just saying happy birthday to Chasten.
He's at an LGBTQ giant meeting,
And
Buttigieg is there with his husband, wife, whatever. And he's trying to say Buttigieg.
I want to thank Secretary. Well, first of all, I want to say to Chasten, belated happy birthday, Chasten.
Oh, he couldn't say because he read the prompt. He's like, butted gig.
Butted gig. I don't know what this dude.
Let me see if he had that queued up in his mouth. Let me hear it.
I want to thank Secretary.
That says butt. I'm not going to say butt.
First of all, I want to
Chasten. Chasten.
Chasten.
Is it? I thought it was Chasten. Is it Chasten?
I don't know what it is.
Belated happy birthday,
Chasten. That's great. That's great. That's like one of those when you don't know someone's name. Hey, great seeing you again.
Unfortunately, I have to do
this all the time because, you know, if I see Sanjay Gupta or anyone, chances are I'm going to say, Jose, how you doing? Like, I got all these wrong names in my head.
Oh, well, from the show.
Yeah, it would carry over into real life.
Hey, Chip.
Chip Gregory. This would be horrible. It would be horrible. I have to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, this is the one I got to. This is an interesting clip because the thing that's going on is there's this giant woman, a transgender male. In New Zealand, I don't have her name in front of me, but she's a big weightlifter,
mm-hmm.
and
transitioned.
Call when you change
transitioned.
She transitioned at the age of 35.
Yeah, which is inappropriate.
She was a male weightlifter of no particular prominence, but so she transitions at the age of 35, and within a couple of years, she's the leading female weightlifter. And
isn't she qualified for the Olympics? I read something
yes,
like that.
And this has become great. Scandalous.
This is fantastic.
The Olympics doesn't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do.
We haven't done
that yet. We have a bunch of people that can easily, especially our runners, transition to runners that are good. And so now there's a bunch of operations that start up. Save Women's Sports. There's a whole bunch of organizations. Sure. They don't know how to deal with this because it's kind of like, oh, what are we supposed to do here? Trump in his speech, he's against transitioned men competing in women's sports at any sort of a level that's meaningful. Biden, no, he's all in on it. And this is going to become a problem for him, I believe, because I don't think really the public at large and a lot of transsexuals aren't a big fan of this because they know it draws attention to them in a very negative way. But these woke Democrats, they're all, oh, yeah, we got to do it that way.
Well, what they always do. And I've never really been anti any party, but this particular version of the Democratic Party abuses black men, preferably dead, and trans women. That's the whole thing. It's totally abusive.
So let's listen to Biden on LGBTQ. I have here Q plus.
Okay.
And by the way, this bill doesn't just protect LGBTQ plus people.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's also going to strengthen existing civil rights protections for people of faith, people of color, people with disabilities, women in public accommodations like doctors' offices, parks, and gyms. I want to thank the leaders of the Congressional Equity Caucus for their continued work to make it happen. The Equality Act will also help protect against the disturbing proliferation of anti-LGBTQ bills we're seeing in state legislatures. So far this year, hundreds of anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced in state legislatures. More than a dozen of them have already passed, more than a dozen of them. These are some of the ugliest, most un-American laws I've seen, and I've been here a while. Many of them target transgender children, seeking to prevent them from receiving the appropriate medical care, for using the bathroom in high schools while they're with the one where they'll be most safe, even preventing them from joining sports teams with their classmates.
A reminder that this was President Obama's entire second term agenda was gender neutral bathrooms. We have not moved very far. It doesn't seem like what they want is really working. And I read bills. And so, yeah, you can say that a bill similar, I'm sure, to what Hungary has done is anti-LGBTQ, or to be correct, LGBTQQIAAP+. But they're not. That's just, it's just framing. It's just framing.
This is a lie.
It's a lie. It's just framing. It's really sad that this is what is just shoved into everyone's face. Luckily, people are withdrawing from mainstream and this kind of drivel. And who listens to Joe Biden? The only thing they'll listen to is
news. I do.
Is news models who are regurgitating.
Yeah, no, they don't like to clip Joe because they just say what he said. They everything's a middleman now.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's listen to a couple. Now, this is an old one. I there's a couple of old clips that came up. They were dug up. It's not that old. I mean, it's not like 10 years old. It's just recent, but not last week. And this one I wanted to play because I got a kick out of this. This is Biden on the Tuskegee experiment.
This is great.
We were reaching out into minority communities, which, by the way, and many of the older members of that community had memories of experimentation on Black Americans that were not told about, like what happened to the, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen and all those tests.
Yeah. This is, please do enlighten people who are not clued into Tuskegee Airmen and the Tuskegee syphilis experiments.
There was a bunch of experiments done. I think it was in the 30s, if I'm not mistaken. It may have been sooner than that, but they had a bunch of in the Tuskegee area. They decided to let a bunch of Black men who had syphilis just shine them on and not give them any treatment, just so they could study syphilis a little more. And it was really shameful approach. And this is, you know, blame the medical community for having to even be able to do this. The Tuskegee Airmen, which had nothing to do with this, were a highly decorated group of pilots that in World War II that were all Blacks and honored for, and including a movie by George Lucas that wasn't very good. Just an extremely accomplished airman. But now with Biden, they've mixed the two together. So the airmen, I guess, all had syphilis. So.
Just some detail on the Tuskegee Airmen. They were part of the 477th bombardment group. They were not all African-American, actually. Five were Haitians, one from Trinidad. There were several Hispanics, Latino airmen from Dominican Republic. So it was really a Black community of airmen.
It was a community.
It was a Black community of airmen. But they were very successful, very heroic, very, very
Yeah, very they were outstanding. So this was, some crazy gaffe where, and I don't know where this one's just cropped up, and he's trying to introduce or mention some police chief, and he gets the guy's name wrong, I think twice or maybe three times, gets the city wrong, and then finally gets it right. Maybe at the end.
Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Murray, Police Chief Murphy.
Wow.
Of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Woo! Man, that was a bad one, Joe. Let's hear it again.
Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Murray, Police Chief Murphy. Hall of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow. He's really deteriorating.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then the most recent thing that everyone's all over because it's so weird was his whispering during it. Yeah. He's whispering.
Yes.
And I have a medley, as I like to put it, of his whispering.
It's not a supercut, but a medley.
It's a medley mm-hmm. of his whispering. No, mm-hmm. supercuts are just a bunch of different disparate people saying the same thing. This mm-hmm. is all Biden.
Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening? I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week for childcare. The bill on the environment. Why would I not be for it?
Yeah, I've analyzed this for myself, why he's doing this. Do you have any thoughts? Because I think I...
No, I have zero. I just... It's Biden. I mean, what kind of thoughts is he going to trigger? But I'd love to hear the analysis.
What I believe is happening is he is taking personal credit for the overpayment or overstimulation of the economy. And as he's... What he's taking credit for now is higher wages for everybody. And so he's kind of making it sound like I gave them $1.9 trillion so that everybody could stay home. And now they're in the catbird seat. They can demand higher wages. I did that, Joe Biden. Listen to it again.
Not
for you. I was going to give it for everybody else.
No, but okay, we'll play it one more time. Because I have a counter to this.
Okay. All right, I'll play it up to that bit.
Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah. Pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening? I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Okay.
I don't think he needs to whisper. What's the point of whispering? Is it because it's a big secret or he thinks he's being sneaky? Is he trying to portray himself as sneaky? That's yes. what you're saying.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I agree
yes,
with you.
Yes, I think so. I think that's...
I agree with you that...
Or strategically sneaky. Like, hey, see what I did there?
I think it's creepy. I don't think a president of the United States is supposed to be sneaky.
Well, no. It seems to come with the job, though, for most.
Yes, but you don't have to portray it.
But he's a senile old man. What do you expect from him? I'm amazed that he knows he had anything to do with it. Now, if you're going to, not you, but if someone's going to be a pundit on television and going to make fun of Joe Biden with his creepy whispering, you better have everything straight. This is Dick Morris. And what is he, just a consultant, a political consultant that's been around forever? Or has he ever held any kind of office? Or
Dick Morris, I think he worked in the...
Clinton?
One of the president's regime some time ago. I mean, I had him on Silicon Spin once.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was like, it was kind of semi-disastrous because of the fact that he wouldn't stop talking. And a couple of the panelists were mumbling into the mic about, can't this fucking guy stop talking? It wasn't a good situation.
Yeah, he was a friend and advisor to Clinton during his Arkansas days. And he is the disillusioned Democrat who is now became a Republican.
He's a consultant, yeah.
Yeah, he's a
strategist.
Yeah, fathead consultant. He's our competition with the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group. So it's always fun to make fun of the competition when they suck.
Yes.
Here's Dick Morris.
Well, when you whisper because you want to keep a secret, that's one thing.
Yeah.
When you whisper because you're not able to project your voice because you're so frail and old and weak, I'm not sure what to do about it. I think that the solution for Joe Biden is listed in the field of taxonomy. You know what that is, where they stuff a moose head and put it on the wall.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what we need to do with Joe Biden. Stuff him and bring him out.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know about that. Dick, come on.
Now, this is what I mean. He says taxonomy. They meant taxidermy. What an idiot. And the news model is even stupider.
Yes, that's a complete wrong word. Taxidermy is stuffing the animals.
But it says taxonomy.
Yeah, he says taxonomy, which has to do, I think, with the analysis of systems. I have to look it up.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. That's and she's dumber than he is, obviously, because she doesn't know what any of it means.
That's the stuff that passes for.
This is what you get on TV nowadays.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Is that on Fox?
Yeah, totally. No, those guys are no good. I woke up this morning. You know, we've been looking for a new chief of police here in Austin. As Art Acevedo, who was a pretty good police chief, he went to Houston. Houston seems to be doing okay. Everything's falling apart in Austin. This is the last show, by the way, from Austin tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We re-enter the state of Texas.
After you're done with this, I want to play an Austin clips to make sure that we stay in the Austin theme. Go on.
Okay. So I woke this morning. There are 44 candidates for Austin's next police chief. And what do you think the headline is?
Oh, I have no idea.
Three women of color with leadership experience have applied to be next chief of the Austin Police Department, bringing a level of diversity to the candidate pool that was lacking in earlier review of applicants. And it's some doozies, man. It's the one from Atlanta who left. didn't she quit? Yeah, Celeste Murphy. Oh, no, she's the deputy chief. I'm sorry. Celeste Murphy. Mirtha Ramos, who was chief in DeKalb County, Georgia. And Amada Tingirides, who was the L.A. police deputy chief. I'm seeing three strikes here. Atlanta is a mess. Los Angeles is a mess. And there's 41 other candidates, but this is all, the whole story is about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one cares about having a good police chief. Let's just make sure that we
you don't want a good police chief. You want a police chief that looks good.
There you go. Just like the NASDAQ. You'll be seen as good.
Yeah, what you're seeing is good.
What's your Austin story?
Yeah, I have an Austin story because I figured the reason is because I wanted a boots on the ground report from you.
Oh, I know exactly what this is.
Oh. And so okay. I figured, well, because they just found that the championship was taking place of the Austin A.
Yes.
It was the ACL in Austin. Mm-hmm. Let's play this clip here.
Oh, here we go. Yes, I'm very familiar with what's going on.
And we welcome you back inside the Austin Convention Center here in Austin, Texas. Pro Shootout number 4 here on the ACL Pro Shootout Tour. Alongside Trey Ryder, I'm Jeff McCarver, and we are pleased to be joined now by Kaylee Hunter, who just won the women's singles final for her first pro victory. Kaylee, congratulations. You know, I know this has been a long, well, you're only 19, so I'm not sure I can call it a long journey. But it has been a journey for you. Just talk about what this moment means for you with your first pro win.
It feels amazing. Honestly, I'm still shocked just because, I don't know, I've been getting third or making it to the broadcast every time. I'm just happy that I finished it out.
Wait, this is something different. I thought this was going to be soccer.
Oh, no. This is the ACL. I figured this is where you go to because it was the big event.
No. I paid attention to the brand new FC Austin football club.
You didn't go to the ACL?
No, I was watching Austin get obliterated.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be the way it would go. Okay. Well, the ACL, I think, is more important.
I didn't even know the ACL was taking place.
Yeah. No. You know what it means, right?
No.
Oh, well, you're just going to play dumb. I thought you'd be at this. It's the American Cornhole League.
Oh, God.
There's a professional league.
Oh, yes.
ACL, yes. The American Cornhole League.
You know,
and
yeah.
Kaylee there won the women's singles.
Yes, you're right. I did see a quick news flash. How strange that I did not do anything with it. What was I thinking? Yes. Yes. Cornhole event. You're so right. We do have a league.
So.
Okay. Well, I'm.
Professionals. They're professionals.
Yes, I know. We also have a professional axe throwing league here.
I could have had. Yes, you do.
Not to be confused. Not to be confused. It's very bad if you confuse the two. Go to the wrong event. It could end up bad. Very bad. Okay.
And by the way, the professional cornholers, it's pretty astonishing to watch how they operate. They can nail that. They can toss that sand bag, you know, just right into the hole. One guy beat another guy 24-0.
Oh, it's very impressive how they do this.
I would like to see, and just not to go get carried away with this, but I would love to see some professional basketball players, that the famous three-point guys, the guys like Stephen Curry or Damian Lillard,
see them cornhole
the sport on. I bet you they could just nail one bag after the other right in that hole.
Huh.
So I think that has potential. Anyway, that was my report.
Thank you.
I know you're going to be leaving Austin for Pflugerville, and you're not going to be able to go to these things anymore.
You know how many people think I'm actually moving to Pflugerville or Waco or the Schlitterbahn? It's quite impressive.
What?
People think I'm moving to Waco or Pflugerville. No,
that's Pflugerville.
Yeah, Pflugerville. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. It's a little town outside of Pflugerville, right?
Yes. Yeah, right near the Schlitterbahn. Exactly. I'm just going to say the heart of Hill Country, Texas, because that's true.
That's in the other direction.
No. Okay. Do we want to do any vaccine stuff here? Or do you want to take a break? Because I do have a few, some of them funny, some of them interesting. And
well, the break's not going to last long. We had lousy donations today. And we got a few executive producers. We can thank them now. Well, and then we can get right back to
First, let me thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Cornhole League, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also, in the morning to all ships and sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
Can't believe I said John C. Dvorak. I meant Dvorak.
You said Dvorak.
I said Dvorak. It was.
It's Joe Biden.
He's rubbing off on me. Hey, everybody, it's the trolls in the troll room. They are at trollroom.io. Let me count them.
Troll count. 15,
20. Okay, as they scurry away, let's see what we have on the count today. Still no counts. No counts. What is going on? Why is the count not working? Someone's messing with my count. 2024. Whoa. That seems to be higher than usual. Am I?
Not for Sunday. It's 22. We were peaked at 2,200.
We've peaked, bro. We've totally peaked. We've peaked on trolls. We've peaked on donations. Peaked the show COVID. Has peaked. The show has peaked. We're relegated now to laughing about cornhole. the troll room is, of course, a very wonderful place. Where the trolls congregate, over 2,000 of them listening to the live stream, trollroom.io. Now, that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have a lot of live shows on that stream, all from Gitmo Nation, all part of the value for value system and environment and community that we have created together. And you can go ahead and troll along, chat to people. There's even some fun little commands you can issue. You can get temperature somewhere else, you know, check the Bitcoin price, all kinds of bots that they've implemented. Or why don't you just follow us at noagendasocial.com, which is our non-algoized federated social network. You can follow John. It's at johncdvorak.noagendasocial.com. I am at Adam at noagendasocial.com. You can't sign up for an account anymore, noagendasocial.com, but you can follow us. And once you follow, then the Fediverse starts to do its magic, and you eventually wind up with pretty much everything on your federated stream that comes in from noagendasocial.com. And one more important group to thank is our group of artists who always bring us fresh new album artwork for every single episode. Tanta Neal nailed it for episode 1358.
Tanta nailed it.
Tanta nailed it, 1358. We titled that one The Media Liescape. And you totally dominated this time in the... I record these things now. Because you're making me look good, bad. You're making me sound like a douche. But we did have quite a conversation. And I'm scrolling now to take a look.
Well, she did the...
she did two versions of this, did she not?
She did two versions. I like... that's right. We had to talk about this. She did two versions of the same art, but she had different little symbols. She used the British House of Parliament and the one we picked.
Yeah.
And then she had the coat of arms, the British coat of arms.
But that wasn't the reason why one was picked over the other.
I would have preferred the British coats of arms instead of the House of or the Parliament building, because she darkened the background and darkened the card color. I liked the darker version better, but I didn't like the House of the Parliament. I'd rather have the little coat of arms because I think that made it was a better looking image. But she didn't do an alternative with that on it.
Right.
She changed too many things. If you're going to do these variables, you know, don't change everything. Change one or two things and then change it. But I mean, I felt this was not optimal. I would prefer the original art in the darker mode.
Well, this is good feedback. I think the main point is, if you're doing a variation or a variant, don't change too much.
Yeah, don't change everything. Just change, you know, especially if you're just dealing with the colors of the image. Because it really was better, darker. It needed to be darker so it had more contrast. Contrast is important.
Was there anything else that we liked in this batch that came in? I'm trying to see.
It may have been something.
Well, I'd used Kenny Ben's for the pre-art, 1358, because I thought that looked good. The Tokyo No Screaming from Darren didn't quite come out.
It was not gettable.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with some of these, and I should mention this, often an artist will title their work. In fact, every piece
common complaint
titled
of yours.
But if you don't understand the art without reading the title, it's just no good. And
I agree.
And that's how we kind of evaluate it. We don't, because you mouse over, it'll bring you up the title. And if you have to do that...
Yeah, we don't look at the titles until we blow it up.
Yeah, and so if you have to do that, then it's kind of a fail. But, man, do we appreciate the work these artists do. And yes, someone was laughing that I still call it album art, but that is exactly what it's still in the RSS, I think the iTunes namespace is album art, so we've just kept it at that. But it is all possible thanks to the No Agenda Art Generator, noagendaartgenerator.com. That is where... artists from all walks of life can upload during the show, which most do. We select art right after we're done. It's basically the third item on the list after we get the files ready and do the credits. So it's fast work that they do, and it's really fun. It's a great contribution to the value for value model that we employ here. And we were talking earlier about podcasting 2.0. John, are you familiar with the No Agenda quotes that I think Phoneboy does on Twitter and No Agenda Social?
Yeah.
So he's now using the new version of Podverse, which is a podcasting 2.0 app. And one of the new things that we put in, which is called sound bites or clips. So now with every single quote that he has, there's a link. You click on the link, it opens up a web page with the Podverse player, and you actually can play that little clip.
Well,
yes, I know. Well, Facebook does this, is saying that this is coming for them and they're going to do it one day. And I hope they implement podcasting 2.0 and not reinvent the wheel. But I would just want to ask everyone to go take a look at it. Yes.
You want to put money on that?
Put money on what?
The simplicity of just adopting podcasting 2.0 as opposed to not invented here and dreaming up some piece of shit that doesn't work.
I've heard they're sniffing around. I haven't actually heard from them, but no, I put no money on it because, of course, the whole idea is just like the original blogs and RSS. Silicon Valley wants to remove that. They want it gone. So they're not interested in open distributed systems. They want to have closed stuff that they can control and own and advertise on.
Right? Exactly.
Right? Try out a new podcast app today, newpodcastapps.com. And let's thank some of our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1359 of the No Agenda Show, kicking it off with
Sir Donald Sir David, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, which is Bel Air, Texas.
Yes.
Which is different. 333.65. Celebrating my 65th birthday on the 25th.
Nice.
Officially elderly.
Okay.
Thanks for your courage. Looking for. Let's do this correctly. So hold on a second. Say something.
Something. 1, 2. Okay. Test. 1, 2. What are you doing?
I have an actual knob.
Okay. That is just the opening clip for the show. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a knob that I use to control the volume.
Yes.
Of the speakers. So I don't have to go clicking around to turn them up and down or whatever. And it's part of the system, actually. It's pretty nice.
Oh, this is the Scarlet knob?
It's not a Scarlet knob. It came with the speakers. It's from I don't know what the brand is. Anyway, it fell onto the floor.
Your knob fell on the floor?
And my foot caught the wire, and it fell on the floor as I moved around. And so then I had to stop the show and make you...
You were doing volume adjustment. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so that's what that was about. Okay. It's happened a couple of times.
Does the knob come off the actual device?
No, it's a couple of wires hooked to it's like a fader. I just call it a knob. I was going to do this in his new elderly voice.
Okay.
You can do it. Celebrating my 65th birthday on the 25th. Officially elderly. Thanks for your courage. Looking forward to normality and sweet forgetfulness like Sleepy Joe Biden. Sleepy Joe. And R2-D2 karma to all, Sir David, Fresh Prince of Bel Air, Texas.
Here we go.
You've got karma.
That was pretty good. It was too good at the end there. I need to crackle it up a little bit more, but it was good. It's good. I like this voice.
Yeah.
Seems to be hard.
It's good for just saying hello or something.
Jordan Lentink comes in with 333.33. He clicked on the executive producer drive link, and we appreciate that. Dans le matin, gents. Greetings from the French-speaking part of the People's Republic of Scandinavia. Bonjour. I've been an avid listener since Adam's first JRE appearance. Do you know what that means?
Rogan donation.
Want a show. But have been suffering from a bad case of douchebaggery, so this is my way of saying thanks for an amazing show. I would like to take this opportunity to ask my smoking hot partner for the last 9 years, and whom I have repeatedly hit in the mouth, MJ, to marry me! So here it is, through the sultry voice of Mr. Curry. Oh, we need a little music. I didn't even know this was here today. Did you know this was happening? I didn't see this happen. I love this. This is beautiful. Okay. So this is from Jordan Lentink to his smoking hot partner for the last 9 years. MJ, couples that no agenda together, stay together. Would you do me the great honor of taking my hand in marriage? Love is lit. No jingles, no karma. Let us know, Jordan. I wonder, is this going to be like in the car when she hears it, or what do you think? What are you playing? What?
I'm playing the appropriate background sound.
Wow, that's beautiful. Let us know. I hope it works out. And can they even get married? And can they even go to a wedding right
the
now?
Law.
You can't do that in Canada, can you? Oh, congratulations, you two crazy kids. Very nice.
Yeah, that was sweet. John Carpenter in Calabama. Calabama? That was Calabama, California.
K Calabasas.
333-33, another executive producer. Hearing John howling, donate. Strangely gave me FOMD, job and health karma for all. Love, lit love from John from Calabasas. Or in our case, Calabama. Ah, I get it. Since we live on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yes, and FOMO is pronounced FOMO. Is an acronym for fear of missing out.
Yeah, FOMO.
And so we're going to give John an extra bit of FOMO.
Donate! Donate! Donate!
Oh, man, that chime hurt. That chime hurt so bad.
The chime?
Yeah, that's the. You don't hear the chime on that one? That's
Your
Zenergy chime.
I have mine.
Oh, people really don't like this energy chime. It hurts. It really freaks people out. So do it.
I can't find it. It's around here somewhere. I have the three note one.
Yeah, no, that's no good. It has to be the Zenergy chime.
No, it's the middle one of the three is the Zenergy chime. It's that this has two additional ones. Yeah, I find it extremely annoying to listen to. I guess it works well in a classroom to get everyone to shut up. Patrick Weingard in Zeeland, Michigan, 333. Please give a big happy birthday to my awesome wife, Jubilee Weingard.
You bet. She's on the list for sure.
Sir Anonymous of Philadelphia, 333. Please refer to me as Sir Anonymous of Philadelphia, which is my name on No Agenda Social.
Yay.
I would like to request... Oops, hold on. I got the message again to upgrade my system.
Uh-oh, here we go. Snooze for 10 minutes.
I'm putting on a snooze.
Snooze.
Which is my name on No Agenda Social. I would like to request some moving karma, and Adam needs that too.
Yes.
For myself as well as for Adam. Though my move should be largely complete by the time this is read.
Oh, man. This is kind of like the Jackson Brown, the loadout. Make sure you got it all good to go before you come for my piano. That's the only thing left is the studio. And everything is boxed up.
Is everything all out or ready to go?
No, ready to go. Tomorrow the movers come. And Tina has packed everything by herself, I would have to say. She's done all of it.
It's probably best.
That's what she would say.
It's probably best. That's what I was going to. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I was going to. I forgot to mention another show. Another Tina, why she's the keeper.
Ah.
She has some of the greatest handwriting I have seen in 20 years.
Where did you see her handwriting?
Or as they would call it, she has a terrific hand.
I love her hand. Where did you see her handwriting?
That check that you got from one of the donators who sent it to your box for some unknown reason had to be forwarded to me to be deposited in the bank.
That's right. She dropped it in the envelope. Yep.
She wrote out the envelope. It's stupendous.
That's
stupendous.
Yes.
She obviously learned how to write in school.
Yeah.
Which is not taught anymore.
Why do you think I snagged her, dude?
The same.
She packs a tight suitcase. She packs a tight house. She's got beautiful handwriting. Oh, and she's beautiful, and I love her.
Enough.
Thank you very much, Sir Anonymous of Philadelphia. Benjamin Nidus from San Francisco, California, 260, first associate executive producer for today. John, Benjamin says, I felt so horrible about not having an envelope full of cash for you at the Walnut Creek meetup. RIP, rest in peace to Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, but by Ice. And he has in parentheses here, vax death. So did Robert Felix die after the vaccination? I don't know.
Probably.
And requests chemtrails and two shots to the head for this dude named Ben.
Dude named Ben.
This is the best.
Yeah, he's at most of the meetups. Like, he tried the one yesterday. I didn't go to it. Michael Burns, $210, and he has one request. China is asshole.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Yes.
Mike Hall's next in Pownall. Pownall, I don't know how to pronounce it. P-O-W-N-A-L.
Pownall. Pownall. Pownall.
Pownall, Maine. $233. I've been listening since the Daily Source Code.
Wow.
Oh, he goes, he's prenatal.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost a knight, and I am a content evergreen artist. Oh, he does the evergreen art. Okay, some of it.
Cool.
I have had accepted art, and I've been in a few newsletters. Thanks, John. I had to laugh last week when I heard somebody else who visualized sealing wax as sealing wax, sealing the roof. Last year, I did sealing wax cover art. I always envisioned Ward Cleaver coming home and June being very proud to show him that she had waxed the ceiling. This is imagination, typical artist.
I love it.
They're imaginative. That's why we love them.
But
thank you for all that you do. Pownall geek from the great state of Maine.
I remember seeing that art and we both went, what the hell? We couldn't put it together until it was pointed out in yet another donation segment, which is where we learn a lot of things.
We get most of our information from the donations.
Producers and donations, you bet. Duncan Kissinger winds it out, short list today, the final associate executive producer, Indianapolis.
From total.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Gentlemen, says Duncan, I appreciate you both and the work that you do. I need a de-douching as this is my first donation.
You've been de-douched.
My uncle hit me in the mouth a couple of years ago, but it took the lockstep of COVID coverage elsewhere for me to force myself to acclimate to a three-hour podcast. Now, I can't stand non-show days. Wow. I think it would be bad if we had more shows. This is perfect.
Well, you can also stretch the show out.
Yeah, I don't like that. Bless you. I recently wrapped up a work study position at the Masonic Library and Museum of Indiana, where I reported to two 33rd degree master masons, one of which wrote Freemasonry for Dummies, published by Wiley, a former client from my pizza delivery days. I mentioned this only to say that I thought I was desensitized to the constant barrage of 33s one might experience in daily life. But today, I am overwhelmed by them to such a degree that I'm making this donation. I can't afford to just cleanse my aura, so to speak. Yes, the 33 number, which we've been pointing out for a long time, once you're clued into it, it becomes very annoying how often that pops up in strange situations. One last brief point. I recently started No Agenda from the Top, and it's been wild to follow along with Adam's radicalization. What? My radicalization? As a former cheesemonger, I wanted to enter into the record a general cheese recommendation for all of Gitmo Nation. Cambozola, a German blue brie, and it's fantastic. I apologize that despite my many strengths, brevity is not one of them. Apparently, syntax isn't either. Karma to all, love is lit. Duncan from Indianapolis. I'm not familiar with this cheese product, Cambozola.
I have, I can see that it would be a combination of things, name-wise, but I've never had this cheese, and I will definitely track it down, because I like cheese a lot.
We are cheese heads. We're
borderline cheese heads.
Big on it. Got some karma for you, man.
You've got karma.
Wow, you're right. Short segment. Good. More show. I hope people still like us.
Well, they seem to like COVID more than they like us.
Well, this is the most honest way of performing this duty of public podcasting. It really only works when you do it this way. People don't like it. They show their love or they don't. We certainly appreciate the love we got from these executive producers and associate executive producers who take that title for this show, episode 1359. You can put it anywhere use it anywhere credits are accepted. Put it on your LinkedIn, on your resume. Anyone questions this, we will set it up. You can have Adam or John vouch for you. And somewhere that might mean something these days. At least it looks cool. We say, I can get these guys to vouch for me. And if you'd like to participate in this for our next episode, for the first one from the new CASA in the heart of Hill Country, go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
And thank you all very much for your time, talent, and treasure.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Before we get into COVID, I do have another entremont.
Okay.
This would be, again, along the lines of the ridicule we thrust upon Biden.
Mm.
But this time it's Pelosi.
Oh, okay.
And now this is another clip that probably is from a couple of weeks back when they're doing the George Floyd bill.
Mm-hmm. The George Floyd Crime Prevention Act or Policing Act. George Floyd Policing Act. That's what it is.
Yeah, something like that. So this is before they named the bill. And so here's Pelosi's discussion of how the bill got named. And it has a kind of an interesting ending to it.
And I'm very proud before the Judiciary Committee that before he testified, he said to me, Madam Speaker, do you think that I can tell George's daughter that his name will be always remembered because you will name the bill for him? And I said, well, I'll recommend that to the Judiciary Committee and to the Congressional Black Caucus who have shaped the bill. But I only will do that if you tell me that this legislation is worthy of George Kirby's name.
George Kirby, come out here, please.
Let me hear that again. The end was great.
Legislation is worthy of George Kirby's name.
George Kirby, come out here, please.
What name do you think she's saying there?
George Kirby.
She's really saying George Kirby? Oh, man.
George Kirby is a comic from the 50s and 60s.
That's what's on her mind.
Predated, in fact, there's, if you go to MartyHiggins.com, which is MartinHiggins.com, who is our official No Agenda joke writer,
mm-hmm.
He has a video clip there showing not only this gaffe, but also a small George Kirby bit from the Ed Sullivan Show in black and white from the early days. And where he's doing material that is so dated because it's an old show. But I didn't realize how funny George Kirby was. He predates all the comics that took, the black comic scene began with Dick Gregory when he came out and became the angry black man doing mm-hmm. material.
Mm-hmm.
And it developed with the Richard Pryors and all the rest coming after that. But before him, there were a lot of black comics that were doing pretty straight, normal stand-up, and George Kirby was one of them, and he was really funny.
Maybe she actually thinks it was George Kirby. Maybe that's why she's so riled up about it.
I have no idea. She's old.
Anything's possible. Yeah, she was slurring in the beginning there, too. Vote these people out. Jeez. Get some fresh blood in there. Just for the fun of it, for our clips. All right, COVID. Well, not so much COVID, but there's a lot of issues with the vaccine. Oh, I have the OpenVAIR stats for today. Let's take a look. This is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And we currently have in the United States 1,196,421 reports of vaccine adverse events. This is updated as of June 18th. We know that they are running way behind, and this is only what is reported and only what has not been taken out by the CDC. Current death toll, 6,136, and of which 1,644 myocarditis, we have thrombosis, 1,776, funny. 720 miscarriages. I mean, it's everything's going just dynamite. And there was supposed to be some meeting, or they actually did have a meeting about these young men particularly who have heart inflammation and other types of ailments after receiving the vaccination. And this is what came out of it.
The FDA has officially added a warning to the Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccines about those rare cases of heart inflammation.
So they put a little warning on the label now.
Yeah. It's like the don't smoke.
And if you look at the vaccine insert, this has been on YouTube many times, it's empty. There is nothing on the vaccine insert. So this will be the first thing they're putting on it. And isn't there emergency use authorization set to expire July 1st?
That's why they want everyone vaccinated.
It must be. Because I don't think they can do it.
They can extend it. They just do some.
I'd like to see. Bureaucrats
work. We'll extend it for another 90 days.
I would like to see the I would like to see the official extension then. crazy. All right, so Australia, we have Sydney now locked down for 14 days.
And with this is one case or something.
Hard lockdown. I feel bad that I said, you know, Australia is 6 months behind. You know, part of it has to do with their summer and winter being, their seasons being inverted.
Yeah, they're in the middle of summer, so that should be like boiling hot. It's, well, I mean, I guess it's not.
They're moving up on winter.
Oh, okay, so they're in autumn. You're right.
Right. So this could be influenza. This could be all kinds of stuff. It always
Delta plus.
It's the Delta plus. So I have a lot of news today from the royal countries. So I have Scandinavia, the United Kingdom, and what else do I have? Well, I do have. Wait. Yes, this is from the UK. This is the United Kingdom's chief executive and general secretary of the Royal College. So these are the people that that provide guidance and information, and I think guidance is probably the right term for politicians. And this chief had something interesting to say.
But just reference to your earlier conversation about lifting the lockdown, we know that we haven't infected enough of the population with this virus.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why she's saying
another one.
But this is interesting. She's saying we haven't infected enough of the population with this virus. I mean, she said
impacted.
She said, did she say impacted? I thought she said infected. Really?
I think she said.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. Let me hear it again.
Just reference to your earlier conversation about lifting the lockdown. We know that we haven't infected enough of the
population. She says infected. Yeah. I'm not hearing impacted.
No, I hear impacted.
Really? Blue dress.
We haven't infected enough of the population with this virus.
It doesn't matter. It's still funny. Because she still gaffs it up with this virus. Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia, a lot of these call-in shows, a lot of questions from the audience. Somehow, everyone saw Andrew Cuomo and thought, you know, if I do that, if I take questions from the public, I might get a book deal, I might get an Emmy. I mean, all kinds of good things could come out of it. Now, let's see what the health professionals had to say about this call-in.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. I'm wondering about the injunction banning public gatherings and whether there really is a need for such a far-reaching one given the trajectory we're on now.
So, I mean, I think it's still there. We still have bringing large numbers of people together. It can present some risk. We'll continue to look at that. But I think the other purpose of the injunction is to prevent groups that are spreading deliberately spreading false information that can actually create risk. The information itself, if listened to, creates risk to the public as well. So that certainly is a need to manage that misinformation campaign as well.
Now, did I understand correctly that we can't have people standing around together because that will spread disinformation?
This guy, who is that guy?
Oh, he is one of the, I don't have his name. He's like the Nova Scotia Fauci.
Ugh.
I know. It's horrible. Let's go to Toronto.
What a horrible man.
Well, let's go to Toronto. Now, this is one of our producers up in Toronto says this is the only M5M radio show I listen to. It's on noon weekdays. And they had two epidemiologists on to take questions from the listening audience. Here's call one.
As far as the shot goes, I had my first shot very early. I had to wait for the second one. Unfortunately, I went into the Brampton Hospital.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Blood clots that I had, not from the virus, the vaccine.
Oh, really?
And unfortunately, when I left the hospital, approximately 2 days later, I came down with COVID, which I caught in the hospital.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
So there you go. And I suffered with that. I'm okay now. I still have a few problems left over from it.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, it's one of those things, you know. I was shocked when I got it.
Okay, Dave, you take care.
I do. I will. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I just love this. Here's a guy who got his vaccination, got the blood clots, then got COVID, and he's just like, well, what kind of sucks? It wasn't really the vaccination or anything. It's just like, hey, that's what's going on in my life. Do people not see? Do you not see what is happening here?
No.
Here is the second call in, and this was really cool. It's a little long, but this guy has an interesting story about spike protein shedding, and that needed to be shut down.
I have a question for the doctor, if I could, please. My singing teacher actually hasn't been vaccinated yet. She went to her dentist, and she came back after having work done. And then the next day, she suffered for 4 days with a possible what looked like and felt like a bad sunburn on her face, itching, pain, all sorts of symptoms. She went to her doctor, and the doctor said it's probably allergies. And she says, no, I've had allergies. I know what allergies are like. This is not it. So finally, the doctor said, you have spike protein shedding. And that's the second case that I've heard about people that I know. Apparently, the doctor had said that for people that don't know, and I didn't know what was spike protein shedding, is that she has not been vaccinated. The people that were working on her had been just recently vaccinated, and so she got these symptoms, which are pretty bad.
If somebody has been vaccinated and you are exposed to them, there isn't really any way that you can pick up either COVID or any remnants of COVID or any kind of elements of the disease from having a person vaccinated. The vaccine is not a live vaccine. It's just some genetic sequences. So
it's just some genetic sequences. There's nothing to be worried about.
It's only within that person that they develop an immune response, not to anyone else who they've been exposed to. So I'm not exactly sure what it could mean, protein shedding.
In my protein shedding apparently had something to do with the person being recently vaccinated.
Well,
that she was around.
Oh, shut it down.
I think that what the doctor is trying to tell you is that he's never heard of such a thing and doesn't think it's
what? This is the news model who's just shutting it all down. It gets good.
I think that what the doctor is trying to tell you is that he's never heard of such a thing and doesn't think it's a likely outcome. I haven't read anything like that about anything like that. Dr. Sly, have you?
Not at all. I think Dr. Weissman's right on. It's very strange.
Okay, well, Barry, nobody here has ever heard of such a thing. I don't know, maybe look it up or something. Doesn't sound likely to our experts.
Thanks. Oh, so the doctor might have been wrong then, huh?
Well, yeah, dentist isn't a doctor, actually.
No, that she went to an actual doctor.
Okay, I don't know. This is okay. Nothing we've heard of. If we see something. Thanks. Okay. All right. You hear something new every day, I guess, with this virus. It's, and a lot of it is not necessarily accurate.
So how can they never have heard of this?
No, this is what bothers me the most. If you've heard of it and you think it's bull crap, that's one thing. You'd say, well, we've heard of this, and it's like something that's been going on the internet, and I don't know where the doctor picked it up.
That would be an appropriate
As far
response.
As we're concerned, it's bull crap.
Yeah.
But to not have even heard of it, because we've heard of it, you've heard of it, everyone listens to the show's heard of it, and there's, to not have even heard of it means, why are you even on the show? If your knowledge base is so narrow, why are we even talking to you? You can't go on these shows with a narrow knowledge base, and just be a knee jerk reaction to every question. This is you're useless.
Well,
a liar.
The way the host jumped in told me that this was on the do not talk list or something.
Yeah, it doesn't. It she jumped in a little too harshly.
Yeah. Andrew Marr, big BBC broadcaster over in the UK, has an evening program, and he has guests on. And he had, via telescreen, he had one of the government's top advisors. And he had a pretty interesting story, because Andrew Marr was vaccinated and he got COVID and he had some questions.
I hope it's not self-indulgence, Peter, to ask you about me, because I got coronavirus last week. I'd been double jabbed earlier in the spring and felt, if not king of the world, at least almost entirely immune. And yet I got it. Was I just unlucky?
Were you unlucky? I think you were. I mean, what we know with the vaccines is that they are actually remarkably effective.
Okay, I just have to stop this every time. So you had the vaccine, you got COVID, and the first thing the guy says is, we know they're remarkably effective. What's wrong with this picture?
At preventing hospitalizations and deaths. They are less effective at preventing infection.
What? They're less effective at preventing the infection? This is not what we've heard.
No, we've heard what he said. We've heard that. Fauci said it. Other people have said it, that the thing is great. It may not prevent all reinfections or infections or, I don't know. It may not prevent you from getting COVID, but will definitely prevent you from going to the hospital or getting or dying from it. We've heard that.
Okay.
I don't know why they're promoting that idea, because then what's the point? The whole thing is dubious.
Yes.
I mean, ivermectin does the same thing. It keeps you from dying and going to the hospital.
No, this continues.
So, you know, although you were sick, you weren't hospitalized and, you know, there wasn't any fatality. And that's probably because of the vaccination. I think it's really important for people to realize that as we increase the vaccination rates and most older people are vaccinated, we will see breakthrough infections and we'll start to see that actually, in the end, the majority of infections are in people who've been vaccinated. And that does not mean that the vaccines don't work. Breakthroughs are expected. What we want to do is to prevent hospitalizations and deaths, and the vaccines do that very effectively.
Okay, so that's the message. Like, it doesn't really work against infection, which is precisely what a vaccine is supposed to do. That's what everyone's talking about. But now it keeps you out of the hospital. Andrew Marr had a little follow-up.
Sure. I'm pretty clear that by being vaccinated, I did not end up in hospital, and that's a great thing. But we use slightly glibly occasionally this phrase, mild and moderate infections. For me, it was really, really quite unpleasant. And I just wonder if it's important in terms of public health messaging to explain to people, you may be double vaccinated, but that doesn't mean you won't catch COVID-19 and it won't be pretty bloody.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, you can be pretty sick and not end up in hospital, and actually many of my colleagues and friends have been in that situation. You know, I'm in my 50s and many of my friends of a similar age have had pretty severe illness and have been close to sort of trying to admit themselves to hospital. So you can get quite a nasty disease.
Okay, so what does it do? So it's like, well, at least, I mean, it sounds to me like Andrew Marr might have wanted to go to the hospital. That's how sick he was from it. He's like, well, there was no blood spewing anywhere, but I felt like crap. Is that this? But this thing is bogus. Excuse. It's bogus. Robert Malone.
Are you concluding that now?
Well, Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology, did the, this is it's in the show notes. He did the numbers. If you really look at the numbers of the vaccine, its efficacy, and its rate of people dying suspiciously close to the vaccination after vaccination. If you take these numbers, for every 100,000 people that are vaccinated, we avert 6 deaths. However, for every 100,000 vaccines and people vaccinated, we see 4 people die of fatal side effects. So for every 3 lives we save, we lose 2.
Yeah.
Saved or created.
I think those are their accurate numbers.
Yes. It seems very accurate. And what we're seeing is that people who have been vaccinated, they're the ones testing positive, some of them getting sick. And it's really, I mean, I'm not a sports guy. I mean, I don't even keep up with the Cornhole League. But no. This College World Series, this is a scandal what's going on. Has North Carolina State got kicked out because a few tested positive, so they're done? They can't play? End of series for them?
That's what it looks like.
But, you know, I mean, this is not official.
It's like the golfer that got screwed.
Right, but what I'm reading, although not official news reports, is that of all of the unvaccinated players, they all tested negative. Four of the vaccinated players are the ones that tested positive.
Oh, that's kind of a sad.
So at what point, do we just think that this is phony baloney sports betting stuff going on? Or how do we play into this? Everything can be manipulated with this now.
Yeah, I know. That's the great thing about it.
I mean, if you have access to the test, you just crank up the PCR cycle count. You can get some, I mean, you could bet on this stuff. We should start making some bets.
Well, you'd have to be at the level of, you'd have to be at the mobster level that can control the PCR test results.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that
we don't have those connections.
Isn't that what the pharmaceutical industry is? Just a bunch of mobsters?
Yes, and they probably are doing a lot of betting.
How about Euro 2020? I mean,
I think it's susceptible to some major bets. I mean, the way these things are, I mean, you get one of these teams that is just a super long shot. That's what you always look for. That, I mean, you're not going to bet on just the top two or three teams. It has to be some long shot comes in to play one of the top teams that's the favorite by, just say, 50-1. And then your two top players are taken out by COVID. Well, they're going to lose to the long shot, the dog, as they like to call it. And the dog pays out some outrageous payment. This is where you make your big money, because you don't have to put a lot. You don't have to invest a lot to get a ton of money back. Yeah, I can see it.
Well, the Netherlands, I'd see, just got eliminated, so they're out. It's got, you know, I think that the Euro 2020, probably the winner of that should be determined based upon which country was the best, behaved the best. I mean, it rarely has anything to do with sports performance.
Well, what country behaved the
Germany,
best?
France. Germany. Did. Germany.
France.
Germany. Lockstep.
Oh, Germany's way over the top.
Lockstep.
You're right.
Germany. I think the Mannschaft. Germany will do it again.
Yeah.
Final clip for me is the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I think people got this wrong, or typical fashion, social media manipulated what he was saying. I like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I've done a lot of work with them back when I had the helicopter. There would always be, and by the way, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the wish for the kid, it's never about the kid. It's about the family. So, you know, our sick child really wants to fly in the helicopter. And if I had a six passenger helicopter, but it was really the family was really all into it. But this came out, the CEO made this statement, but I think people only watched the first minute of it because there's something very cool at the end. But the way this was received and commented on was, "Wow, this is horrible. They're making the Make-A-Wish kids get vaccinated. This is really no good. Sucks balls."
And CEO of Make-A-Wish America. And over the past year, we spent each day at Make-A-Wish preparing for the moment when every possible wish could safely move forward. We've approached this responsibility with a focus and diligence for your family's health and safety. Now, we've consulted with doctors and medical professionals throughout the National Medical Advisory Council. And we've been monitoring public health organizations like the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And based on their collective guidance, today we're making a big step forward in delivering hope to you, our Wish kids, and our Wish families. I'm excited to share that Make-A-Wish will resume granting air travel wishes within the United States and its territories, as well as granting wishes involving large gatherings for vaccinated Wish families, as soon as September 15th of 2021.
Right, so this is where everyone freaked out. They're all like, this is inhumane. You could kill the child with the vaccine. But the guy is really, he's straight up.
All Wish participants, including your Wish kid and any siblings, will need to be 2 weeks past completion of either a one-dose or a two-dose vaccine. While we won't ask for proof of vaccination, we'll ask for any adult participant to sign a letter of understanding that certifies that they and any minors participating in the wish are vaccinated and understand the risks of traveling at this time.
So they're not going to check it. This is totally, I think the guy's doing a great thing here. Is let's get these people back out there. Let's get these final wishes fulfilled. Yeah, sign this piece of paper. Don't worry about it. We're not going to check you. I think that's good.
The workaround. Okay. I think that's good. The workaround. I wanted to set that straight because a lot of people are all bitching about it.
I didn't even know about it, but.
Yeah, well, you know, if you hadn't noticed most podcasts today, in fact, pretty much with the exception of this one, although we sometimes stray into that path, is all about the outrage of the day. It's all it is well, if the Democrats did that, then the Republicans wouldn't do that. It's all just verbal diarrhea. Even Megyn Kelly is uninteresting now. It's like the pool boy. Everyone's doing the same stuff.
Yeah, everybody's outraged.
Except us.
We're calm, cool, and collected.
But we
do follow other people that get outraged.
Well, yeah, that's fun.
Including me putting the work in.
Uh-oh.
To follow little Al Sharpton.
Ooh, wait a minute. It has been a long time since we've had any good Sharpton juice.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Okay, now was this Al on his regular MSNBC program that he makes millions of dollars bumbling through? Yes. Okay, so this is really
I have a couple of new gaffes that people can consider.
It's our jealousy segment, really, is what this is.
Yeah, there's some element of that.
Yeah.
But first of all, he does, I was going to move. I wanted to talk about this story about the socialist communist woman who became the mayor of Buffalo. And it was discussed. I didn't put on the last show. And it was an Amy Goodman story, which she discusses it. But I said, it turns out that Sharpton that ran the story too. And so I figured, well, hell with that, bump Amy and run Sharpton, because he had the woman on his show. And his name India something or other. And so here he is. This is Sharpton in India. One, and here he is introducing the story. He's like a talking head. He's just like a meat puppet, giving us the story and bringing the woman on to the show. And here we go.
It's primary season in New York. And while New York City has been the center of attention, there was a huge upset in the northern part of the state. Up in Buffalo, Democratic Socialist candidate India Walton handily defeated the four-term incumbent mayor in the Democratic primary this week. Just since Buffalo hasn't had a Republican in the mayor's office in over half a century, Walton's chances of being elected to city's first female mayor come November seems high. Joining me now is mayoral candidate India Walton. Let me start with a question about your self-definition as a democratic socialist. Socialism has gotten thrown around by Republicans as an epithet for years. But your primary win proves voters haven't fallen for their disinformation campaign. What does democratic socialism mean to you, Ms. Walton?
So she's DSA. You also call her a socialist. She's a member of the Democrat. That's what AOC is she not? Democratic Socialist of America. By the way, is the DSA are the ones who funded the Homes Not Handcuffs campaign in Austin.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so he asked a very specific question.
Yes.
At the end. Could you play the end again so we get that question? It'll come up again. I reiterated it on the second clip.
Yes. But your primary win proves voters haven't fallen for their disinformation campaign. What does democratic socialism mean to you, Ms. Walton?
What does democratic socialism mean to you?
Yeah. Well,
socialisms.
He's got a lot of stuff like that. So he, I didn't realize, is a kind of a promoter of democratic socialism. So we can assume that that the Reverend, or Rev, as they like to call him, is a communist, essentially, a Marxist, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked her that question, very straightforward question. Now you're going to hear her answer to that question. I want you to tell me what the answer is after we hear her answer to this question. It's part two.
What does democratic socialism mean to you, Ms. Walton?
Thank you for asking. First, thank you for having me on, Reverend Sharpton. This is quite the honor. As a longtime member of National Action Network, I've always admired your work. Yeah. Thank you for putting working people and people who look like me first and giving us this platform. I think that our message in this campaign has resonated with the average Buffalonian. We are working class people in one of the third poorest mid-sized cities in this country. People are tired of the status quo and tired of rich people becoming richer while working class people work harder for less. And, you know, the campaign wasn't centered around democratic socialism per se as much as it was about the issues that are facing working class people. I'm a registered nurse. I'm a single mother of four boys. And the issues that I face every day are the same issues that Buffalo residents are concerned about. They came out and they voted and they chose progress.
Well, she did not. She didn't really explain what democratic socialism is.
She did like a professional job of skirting it.
Yes, and I'm sure that the Rev immediately followed up with, "Yeah, but answer my question."
Wrong. I don't have the horn here, but I would honk it. What I get a kick out of is cities like this where they say, we got to make the change. We have to, you know, we need to do this and that. And we're the third poorest mid-sized city in the country. It's like, but it was introduced as they haven't had a Republican anywhere near the place for the last quarter of a century. No one brings it. Does anyone make a connection here that you let the Democrats take the place over and then they bring in new people that are more progressive and now we got a socialist in there and it just gets worse? Does anybody, can you add two and two to this equation and maybe decide that these people aren't doing a very good job of whatever it is they're supposed to do? They can't even define their own socialism.
I wonder if anyone even watches Al. I mean, now that you've left Amy for the Rev, I mean, Amy will be off television soon and Al, you'll probably get a little bump in the ratings. But it's not, it can't be many people watching this stuff.
No, there's not. But let's listen to two of his gaffes besides ones you heard.
Well, before we do that, may I just read from the Book of Knowledge? Democrat, we might as well give the Book of Knowledge answer. Democratic socialism is a political philosophy supporting political democracy within a socially owned economy. With a particular emphasis on economic democracy, workplace democracy, and workers' self-management within a market socialist...
Noodle boy!
Yes! Yes! Totally noodle boy! Democratic socialists argue that capitalism is inherently incompatible with the values of freedom, equality, and solidarity, and that these ideals can only be achieved through the realization of a socialist society. Although, okay, so this would be her. Although most democratic socialists seek a gradual transition to socialism, democratic socialism can support either revolutionary or reformist politics as a means to establish socialism. As a term, democratic socialism was popularized by social democrats and other socialists who were opposed to the authoritarian socialist development in the Soviet Union. So really they are against the communism that we think of. So they say.
They just don't like the authoritarian aspect of it. They have the more of a committee approach.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it though with the emphasis on workplace democracy and worker self-management.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit.
That's right.
I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Now you know where it comes from.
We'll revisit this, of course. Now let's listen to Sharpton. He's got George Floyd's brother on.
Oh, okay.
Joining me now. Joining me now is Philonous Floyd, the brother of the late George Floyd.
Is it Filoni? What is his name? Philonous?
Felonous.
Joining me now is Philonis Floyd, the brother of the late George Floyd, and civil rights attorney, the man I refer to as the Attorney General for Black America, Ben Crump. Let me start with you, Philonis, first. First of all, thank you for being with us tonight. And let me say that no prison sentence, I said this yesterday to you in Minneapolis, no prison sentence, no matter how long, can bring your mother back.
man, we have a new mix in the making. Is it not just too delicious to believe that his brother's name is Philonis?
Yeah, it's the irony is just,
I mean, you spell it P-H-I-L-O-N-I-S-E, but still, it's the irony is, yes. Okay.
Sharpton Gaff.
Student athletes routinely lose scholarships. Student athletes routinely lose scholarships.
What do you think he was reading? What do you get confused by?
The word is routinely. Student athletes routinely lose. He's trying to say routinely lose. But he can't do it because it's on the, for some reason, the way it's on the proper, he can't read. I think he's semi-illiterate. I think most of the gaffes that we catch from him are prompter gaffes because he really can't read.
Yeah. And
say it again.
Yeah.
One more time.
Student athletes routinely lose scholarships.
And you know that we would be so fired from our morning zoo show if we were laughing about this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we'd be off the air already. Whereas all we want to do is just present a fun, entertaining show. If we don't make light of it, then we might as well just be Megyn Kelly. This is great. Yeah. This is good stuff from Sharpton.
So I'm going to watch this show a few more times. It's tedious because you have to, he's kind of gone to he's very thin and small now with a big giant head, and he's lost a lot of weight.
What, even more than he was? Because
he's pretty skinny.
I mean, back in the late 80s and 90s, he was huge.
He was a big fat guy.
Yeah, he was big. Yeah, very big.
All right.
Little underlooked or underreported item about Johnson & Johnson.
Pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson has agreed to a multi-million dollar payout to New York State to settle claims it fueled the opioid crisis. The company will pay $230 million over 9 years and agrees never to market the drugs again. Johnson & Johnson played down the agreement, saying it was not an admission of wrongdoing. An estimated 800,000 Americans died over the last 20 years from opioid abuse.
I encourage anyone to go to the show notes and take a look at some of the paperwork on this. These guys are really complicit in legal drug dealing.
Yeah.
I mean, serious drug dealing, and they won't even own up to it. They say this is not an admission of guilt. $230 million over 9 years. Please. That is one year.
Chump change.
Total chump change. Totally. Yeah. Whatevs. Good to go.
Whatevs.
Yeah. Supply chain. Lots of notes about containers.
From our
producers. It was good to hear from the mutualwin.com guys, Michael with the tiny container homes. Been doing that for a while. He said, "Books on the ground. Answer to your question regarding cost increases of a 40-foot shipping container the last 6 months. The cost has risen roughly by the magic number of 33%. He says it's now up to $4,231 for a container, which used to cost a grand. And he says, while not an enjoyable increase, it is still more palatable compared to the doubling cost of construction wood and electrical wiring. And by the way, those tiny homes that they make are really, really beautiful. But reports are coming in from all over Gitmo Nation that the price has spiked in some cases to $20,000 per shipping container. So it went from one or two,
where they're very scarce.
Yeah, one or two to about $5,000 or $6,000, now $20,000. And you can read everywhere online, people saying, well, I can't bring my product in. I can't do it. And this, I think, isn't this, you know, they talk about inflation, that it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, where, you know, if people think there's inflation, then they actually go out and start to hoard products. And because of the demand, the price goes up, and then it just kind of gets into this flywheel. Yeah,
it goes both ways. That deflation is the same way. Self-fulfilling.
Right.
But you don't buy something because you know it's going to be half the price next week. You're not going to buy it.
Right. So do you think that this will not make any difference for inflation of at least consumer prices?
Well, the way the hotshots are determining it, they're saying that this is going to create a temporary bump in inflation.
Oh, yes. But this is transitory.
Transitory. I think that's the word they use.
Yeah, that's Yellen's word, transitory, and Powell.
Yeah, so it's going to have an effect, but once the pipelines are all full, inventories up to snuff, and the rest of it should all settle back down to normal, which it's not the way it works, but that's what they say.
And the South China Morning Post reporting that the U.S. and China are in a technology war, that the semiconductor companies and sectors now have what they say quasi-military commanders who are supply chain chiefs, and they are supposed to be overseeing the supply chain, but maybe making decisions. You know, it's typical South China Morning Post is, in fact, insinuating that these chiefs of 21 industries, which is new energy vehicles, AI, semiconductors, that they will probably be putting a kink in the supply chain just to mess with us, as if they aren't already, or someone's doing something with the chips. I mean, it just seems like we have one after another. We've got all these, you know, we've got the up to 80 or 90 day port delays. So they say we have the spike in container prices. Now these supply chain chiefs, they may hold back a little bit of stuff. Feels kind of like this bad news.
Sounds like bad news to me.
Do you think that there's a real war going on? Do you think? I'm asking you your opinion.
Yeah, I think they're doing this on purpose.
Fuckers. Well,
it's not quite the reaction I expected, but
well, this supply chain issues are big. It's hitting home for some of our millennials.
Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson just speaking with Mad Money's Jim Cramer moments ago, addressing reports from 2 weeks ago of a cup shortage.
Shortage of cups, no shortage of coffee. Our supply chain in our breakfast sandwiches and some items in the bakery case, you know, they have had to ramp up staffing. And so we've had some shortages in the bakery case. That certainly is true. But you look at what we've done over the last couple of months to really get us in a much better position. And you just think about it. When you turn this on so rapidly, it really tests the elasticity of the supply chain.
So bakery goods. Problems with the bakery goods.
Well, why would that be?
Well, didn't he say
eggs aren't coming from China? The flour's not coming from China. The baked goods aren't coming from China.
I think this ties into where one of our producers said that maybe some of their plastics or wrapping stuff is inferior. I think
the wrapping material does come from China, I believe.
And so we've had some shortages in the bakery case. That certainly is true. But you look at what we've done over the last couple.
Wait, I thought he said something about wrapping.
In our breakfast sandwiches and some items in the bakery case, our supply chain in our breakfast sandwiches and some items in the bakery case, you know, they have had to ramp up staffing.
I wonder, do the sandwiches from Starbucks come from China?
Well, okay, so I have a bakery that I go to. It's an outlet for Semi Freddy's, and it's in Kensington, and I go there. I haven't been there for a while because they kind of closed it during COVID, and so I go there because the first time probably for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, when the first month of COVID there, where you can go in, it wasn't a big deal, but then, you know, it's gotten kind of worse. And I go in there and I ask, I want to get a couple of croissants. That's what I should have for breakfast. I forgot about it. A couple of croissants and a Danish and a couple of apple turnovers to stock the food supply here.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't make the the apple turnovers anymore. Oh, well, a couple of Danish. No, we don't make the Danishes anymore. Why? But they have the croissants. They got some croissant machines someplace cranking these things out. So what happened to the bakery? Why they can't? I don't know. So I'm getting the sense that a lot of the bakers have quit, or they've got the money from Biden, like Biden said, and they're not working. And I think they're in short supply. The bakers aren't. There's no bakers to cook them.
Wow. And if you're into baking, it's kind of passion. You know, all the bakers I know love baking.
The bakers are the passionate ones. The people that work around them that have to, you know, help the helpers, the sous chef level people, they're probably not that passionate, and they're just going to take the Biden money.
You know, we could have totally opted for that. We could have done the PPP Biden money and just not done the show. We probably would have made more.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
Yes, indeed. We could have done the show. In fact, we do have a few people to thank for helping us do the show. Show 1359. We're on the show 1360 coming up. And by the way, the next show will be on Canada Day.
Ooh. Hey, did you hear that the 4th of July, I wonder if you received this, the 4th of July will be exactly 5,000 days of No Agenda.
Wow, okay. That's going in the newsletter.
How about that, huh? Yeah, it's a 5,000 days of No Agenda. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay, I'll find the email for it.
Donations. anything.
Okay. Help. Don't get too cocky now.
I'll take full credit. Chris Casey in Georgetown, Texas. These are our donors for our helpers, the producers for the No Agenda Show 1359. Chris Casey at 1033 in Georgetown, Texas. I've got a birthday coming up for someone. Joshua Schmidt, 8008. Ooh. Sir Gary Blatt in Wayne, Pennsylvania, 7777. Brian Kaufman in Scottsdale, Arizona, 7575. Richard Brodowski, 6006, parts unknown. He's going to be a knight.
Yes.
You might want to read this note.
Yes, I will.
Read these notes for the knights.
And Richard says, yay, I'm a knight. Accounting below. Keeping this short due to small donation. Been buying the BTC dip. Thank you for making me the family Vuppy. Please pronunciate me, sir, meme maker, Vuppy of the, Jonquil City? Am I saying that right? Jonquil? At the round table, I'd like In-N-Out Double-Double, animal style with chopped chilies. Oh, it's also my birthday on June 30th, so please add me to the birthday list. No jingles, no karma due to unworthy donation. Richard, you will be the sole entrant to the club in just a few moments. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for your courage.
And onward with Philip Gullion in Rockford, Illinois, 5620-28. Baron Bob in High Point, North Carolina, 5532. Peter Chong, 5510. Gummy Nerds, the Viscount of the Troll Room in Green Bay, Go Packers, Wisconsin, 5432. Love is lit, he writes. John Bolton's mustache is back with 5131 donation. Scott Nelson in Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5001. The following 1, 2, 3, 4 people. The following 4 people came in with $50. Name and location. Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon. Sir Richard Gardner in New York, should be, I believe. Rival Revenue and Sir Alan Bean. A total of 25 donations for the show 1359, 25 out of 1 million listeners. That's how many people donated to this show. So I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out. We should have a little better showing now that the COVID backs off. Our donors go way down to two.
There is an alternative, John. There is an alternative to this.
And, Biden?
No, from time to time, we just have to... No, an alternative to the donations. From time to time, we have to remind people that we could take the show in a different direction. I am personally very enamored by Michael Cohen. You remember Michael Cohen, the former lawyer to the president.
Yes. Is in house arrest. Yes.
Yes. Well, he's a podcaster now because that's pretty much the path. Friends with the president, lawyer for the president, house arrest podcast. And,
sounds right.
He could be asking for donations, but no, he's going straight up.
Scrotal distancing? Ever heard of it? I'm not talking about running away from our Cheeto-dusted former president or Rudy the Nudie Giuliani. They're scroters of different sack. But if you're struggling to separate the guys from your thighs, it's simple for Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear.
The guy is literally doing Tommy John spots.
Wow.
And it goes on for minutes.
Well, he's got nothing else to do. He's stuck at home.
I'm just saying, we could do that. Yeah, we could be talking. I said, hey, John, how's your nuts? I have a solution for those low-hanging nuts we got in our old age, John. Just a thought. We can always do it. It's the world is our oyster. The world is our oyster. And there's plenty of opportunity to do things.
Yeah, well, we think there needs to be picked up. Or that sad dog's coming back as a regular.
Make do here from Sir 3D. He said he apologized. He's not sure what happened with the donation email from show 1358, where he donated $333.34. But he wanted this little make good. Happy to do it. People who are in need of branding or product design work, by the way, can contact him at sir3d.org. He's a professional. But his donation note was inspired by the person who originally brought up the ceiling wax comment. Okay, we appreciate that. And if you're looking for some product design or branding, sir3d.org. We thank you for your courage, and we thank all of these producers, $50 and above, for their support. Well, the ones that we had today. And there are also people who are on the sustaining donations, which does help us in times like this to smooth over a bit, to have some kind of a base. That is the subscriptions, 1111s, 1212s, 3333s. Please go take a look at it. You can find them all here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
I give everybody a little jobs karma today.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah! You've got karma.
Here's our fresh list for today. We've got Dee saying happy birthday to her brother, Brett, who turns 49 today. I think Brett is a new No Agenda listener. Sir David, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, 65 on the 25th. Finally, Philip Golian to his brother, Matt, who celebrated tomorrow, actually, the 28th. Chris Casey on the 29th. Richard Brodowski will be celebrating on the 30th. And Patrick Weingard says happy birthday to his awesome wife, Jubilee Weingard. Yeah. I promised you one nighting. That's it. Richard Brodowski. You heard him just there. And so we've got the single blade.
Here he goes. Here's the blade. Single blade.
Come on up, Richard. Got everything ready for you, man. Thank you so much for supporting the No Agenda show so we don't have to talk about underwear. And I'm very proud to pronounce the KD as Sir Meme Maker, Vuppy of the Jonquil City. And for you, by request, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. We got In-N-Out Double Double Animal Style with chopped chili, cookies and vodka, taquitos and tequila. We got crawfish and cane breaks. We got Cooper's Pale Ale and Kanga Bangers, onion rings and ice cream, trophies and tire smoke. We got brisket and barrel aged copper ale, Reuben S. Women and Rosé. We got breast milk and pablum, ginger ale and gerbil. Bong hits and bourbon, or we know the mutton and mead. The mutton and mead always wins. Always, people, especially the mead, but the mutton is a favorite. So, Richard, you can hop on over to noagendanation.com/rings and give Eric the Shill all the information. Get that ring and sealing wax, SEA, our Signet sealing wax, and the official certificate. And why don't you throw it onto the Mastodon? Tag John and I in it so that we can proudly boost that. Toot as you perform it.
No Agenda meetups.
Closing out June, we got a full slate for July and a couple of reports. This is the Red 33, Red 33 meetup. I believe that's from Boston.
What's going on? It's Brandon. Get ready for a mind F. Dr. Boom. Chicago!
This is Jane LJ Unicorn from
What the hell?
Chicago.
This is not okay, people. You can't just be yelling that in a meetup report or at a meetup.
Chicago.
This is Dame LJ Unicorn from Londonderry, New Hampshire, and a bunny came to visit us too.
This is Sir Penn, give me an investor.
This is Sir Karras, Baron of Greater Boston, taking care of everybody. Brandon Ellsbury on the road, thanks for having me.
In the morning, this is Sir Nathan Lee, John and Adam, thank you so much, and stay safe!
Which, now that I approve of.
Stay safe!
I think that's the ISO.
Good one.
Stay safe.
I have some competition.
Well, hold on. We're not done. We still have the Salt Air Slaves of the, what is this? Very long title. Hold on. Oh, yes. The Salt Air Slaves of the Tampa Bay Area Meetup. This was a big meetup. There were 20 plus people there.
Hey, at the meetup, we're the Saltwater Slaves. This is John Wayne. Having a good time so far. Loving the camaraderie.
Hey guys, this is Michael Burlett. Just hanging out with everyone else at Saltwater Slaves Meetup. Looking forward to seeing everybody in Charleston again when I get the chance to come back up in the morning.
Hello, this is Neil at Saltwater Slaves, the Jamook from St. Petersburg.
Hey, this is Ron. I almost couldn't make it. My car broke down. I had to sweat here in a car without air conditioning, but it's probably because I'm a douchebag. So
I'm Gary. Apparently, party here in the bar, and they call themselves the Saltwater Slaves. And pretty hot women here. So anyway, here I am.
Hi, I'm Christy. Total douchebag here. Brought my two little human resources, and excited to meet everyone at this meetup.
In the morning, this is Maria. Enjoying our first meetup here in Florida.
Hey, this is Mike. Transplant to Florida from Ohio. Still a douchebag. My first meetup. Having a good time with all these salty slaves here in the Tampa area. I drove 2 hours from Rotunda, West Florida, just to come up to this one. Having a great time.
This is G. This is my second meetup, and I'm here with Joan, and she hosted this, and I will say she is the hostess with the mostess here. We do love it. Claire is one of her best friends, and she is a cool person, even though that's not necessary.
Hey, this is Joan. We've had a great meetup in Port Richey, and we found there's tons of people. There's maybe a million people here. Next meetup is going to be maybe 4 to 6 weeks, so if you're in the area, please show on up.
Tacito Scavo. It's Mark here at the Newport Richey, or the Port Richey meetup. Just got here, so I'm having a drink. About time I made one of these in the Tampa Bay area. Thanks to all the organizers.
In the morning, total douchebag here. This is Emily. I'm from Cincinnati. This is my second meetup. My first one was in Ohio, second one here in Florida. I can't wait for my next. This is a shout out to my sister Maddie, who loves the noodle gun and Pat the Blue Ribbon.
I'm with the Salty Slaves down here at Catchers in Newport Richey, just hanging out with the Salty Slaves.
Hi, this is Heather, and I'm a douchebag.
Now, I've noticed a trend here. Yeah. Have you noticed the trend?
I noticed it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, douchebags.
Everyone's a douchebag. This is not a badge of honor.
No. And the fact that they're, and I'm noticing now as you mention it, Florida is loaded with douchebags.
A bunch of douchebags.
We have like a couple of dames, Worthington, Dame Patricia.
Of course.
There's a few famous donators mm-hmm. in Florida. But now that I think about it, we get very few donations from Florida. And there they are at a meetup that we're plugging and they're bragging about it. Yeah, like bastards.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, you're right. We both noticed the same trend. It's like, that's not
Hi,
actually
I'm a douchebag.
Cool.
Hi, I'm a douchebag. Hi, I'm a douchebag. I'm in Florida. I'm a douchebag.
You know,
very, very disturbing.
A little bit. Well, anyway, let's promote some of these fantastic meetups. This is a great experience. Everybody should at least witness this once. You need to go to a No Agenda meetup. They are completely decentralized, disorganized, hypothesized. I don't have any more eyes. It's just where people go hang out. And we have one thing in common. We're all members of and slaves of Gitmo Nation. And that seems to be enough for everybody to have a good time and no triggering, and no one is triggered. Today, you can go to the Truth Wants to Go Out in Franklin, Tennessee at 4 o'clock at the Bunganut Pig. Monday, Local 1, that's Michigan Local 1. We Survive Monday. We'll be in Ann Arbor, 6 o'clock at Anthony's Gourmet Pizza. Brand new, July 1st, that'll be Thursday, the Denver Biweekly Meetup. Taco's birthday at 6:30 in City Park, Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Also on Thursday, the Sacramento Super Spreader Meetup. This is a regularly scheduled event, 7 o'clock at Urban Roots Brewing. Now, coming up in the rest of July, the 2nd through the 4th, this is the big meetup slash official business meeting in Rijsfriesland in the Netherlands. Apparently, 30 or 40 people are going to be showing up, if not more, staying at the hotel. I'm sure it'll be debauchery. On the 2nd, Houston, Texas. July 3rd, Franklin, Tennessee. July 4th, Ketchikan, Arkansas, Greater Idaho, and Dubrovnik, Croatia. July 10th, Montreal, Quebec. Pittsburgh, PA. Anchorage, Alaska. And I'll finish out with the 11th, Fort Myers, Florida, Charleston, South Carolina, and Durham, North Carolina. There's a lot. And if all those people going who are douchebags decided to not be douchebags and mention that in your meetup report, what a glorious day it would be. NoAgendaMeetups.com. If you can't find one near you, just start one. It's easy. And they are all like a pot is.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Attention all human resources. No entry, second half of soul.
Well, yep. Aliens, flying saucers, and the biggest jip in history.
The long-awaited Pentagon report on UFOs was released today, and it echoes the reporting from 60 Minutes that there are a lot of unexplained sightings, more than 140 since 2003, including 11 near misses with U.S. aircraft. There is no evidence, the report says, that adversaries like Russia or China are behind them. So these sightings remain a mystery.
Total disappointment. Nothing new. In fact, they even say it here. It was just like our reporting said from the CIA broadcast systems. So what are they doing? Did you see this report, quote unquote, report, preliminary report? It's basically what CBS had, what everybody's had. We don't know what it is. This guy saw that. He saw that. This was on the radar. This was on the screen. That thing was a balloon. They had one report. That was a collapsed balloon. Okay. They have absolutely nothing. It's such a setup.
Well, did anyone expect more than that?
No, but I'm hopeful. I mean, right along with the thousands of sealed indictments.
Yeah, it's the same. More or less the same as the 10,000 sealed indictments.
It is 10,000. I have one final clip for us today. And
how about the ISOs? I got my ISO collection.
Yeah, so I have.
Stay safe!
Okay. Shall I play mine, then you'll play yours?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I have the stay safe. What do I have? I got a lot for some reason.
All right, chefs, we have 33 minutes left.
That's too long. This is funny.
The Delta variant.
I have this one.
And that hurt my feelings.
Kind of like that one.
No.
Scrotal distancing?
Okay. Yeah, this one is good.
It's a miracle.
Kind of like the miracle. That's all I got. You have something. Clearly, you have something that is superior because you're just poo-pooing
everything.
I have
a couple that are superior, but I don't know if they're going to beat stay safe with the guy yelling it. That's really the...
Kind of good.
It's not the words. It's the way he delivers them.
Yes.
I got worked hard.
Oh, hold on. Worked hard.
You worked hard on that. I like it.
It's Jen Psaki saying you worked hard on that. I like it. As the end of the show.
Okay. It's a little long. 3 seconds is long.
Secretary.
Okay. Secretary. It'll drown. It'll drown. It's not enough dynamic.
That's
to
Biden.
Too bad.
No, that's no good.
No.
Okay, you're right. Huge fan.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're a huge fan of Adam Curry. Yeah.
No, that's too painful. It's just too painful.
Love that one though.
Yeah, that's painful.
And now we have Trump. Then this is. I think this one could work. Could win. Keep it going.
We'll just keep it going. Should we keep it going or get the hell out of here?
It's also long. It's also 3 seconds. I mean, just compare.
We'll just keep it going. Should we keep it going or get the hell out of here?
With kind of a fade out versus...
Stay safe!
I mean, come on.
Okay, stay safe wins.
I mean, it just has to. It has to. I'm sorry, because I see that you did put a lot of effort into it.
I did, and it contrasts to when I have zero of them, and I'm scolded and berated.
No, you're not.
And then, so now I actually go out of my way to find some good ones here and there, and then including Jen Psaki. And
it was a little long. It's just too long. That's all.
Okay, well, the Stay Safe is a good one. Yeah. I'm not going to deny that it's punchy. Closes the show nicely. Yeah. It's got a lot of energy.
It's better than Heil Hitler.
Oh, God. He's going with Sieg Heil.
Right. It's not good. So my final clip is from an audiobook one of our producers sent to me. Mark Lane, very serious journalist. I'd never really heard of him, but I looked up his history, and he has been top journalist for BBC and many big mainstream outlets. And he wrote a book about, do you know, are you familiar with Mark Lane?
He's done a lot of work.
Yeah. He's the real deal, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah. So he wrote a book in 2012 about the murder of JFK, but it was, and this is, most No Agenda listeners who've been around for a while will understand this, will know this mechanism, but I thought it was nice to have about a minute of him explaining how the media really works and how that works in conjunction with the CIA broadcasting system, or just the Central Intelligence Agency directly.
The CIA and the media. After the CIA had widely distributed its then secret memorandum instructing its assets to destroy critics of the Warren Report, including me, and offered specific language for book reviewers, columnists, and interviewers to employ in those efforts, it developed a method for making the false charges appear to originate elsewhere. A survey of the language that the assets used reveals how many of them utilized the methods and even precise and identical language that had been provided to them. This is the method now employed. An independent publication is chosen to mask the source. A CIA puppet is placed there and given an impressive title. The CIA then provides the propaganda. It appears as an independent concept when published. The CIA, employing its official website, CIA.gov, then cites the independent writer and the independent publication as the source, as it spreads its false allegations throughout the world. In the intelligence world, some refer to this as sheep dipping. Their wolf had been dipped into a sheep's bath and came up smelling quite neutral.
So I'd never heard the term.
Sheep dipping?
Sheep dipping.
I may have heard it, but it's something I've never used. But the flaw to this, which is what I think were revealed in one of the clips we had from one of the CIA women, who said that you can sometimes, if you deconstruct things a certain way, it's a tell to spot the spooks.
Right.
And the mechanism in this case, which he kind of hinted upon, and we use it as a trick, is to look for the exact same wordage and who is producing these phrases. In other words, we did this during the period. Yeah.
We tried this just this morning with the 30 years versus 40 years. Whether that's accurate or not, but it's an example. Yeah.
It's an example of how you do it. And so you get with Google, it's very easy to do it because you can just put a phrase in that everyone's using if they're bylined, they should not be using the exact same phrases because that is a form of plagiarism. But so you look for bylined writers or correspondence. And we did this with Feinstein when she was bitching about the fact that she wanted a release of some torture memo, as I recall, back in the day during the Obama administration. And a whole bunch of people were asked, including Richard at the NBC.
Richard Engel?
Engel. And there, all these people were asked about it. Well, do you think they should do that? And the ones who said, no, they should not do that because it's probably not a good idea, which a journalist never does. A journalist will always say, yeah, we just as much information as you can. Let's look up WikiLeaks. Let's do all these things. And the ones who are saying, no, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't look at WikiLeaks, or you shouldn't do this is all a tell.
Yeah.
If you want to deconstruct it properly, and you can see, well, that guy's a spook. He's just a mouthpiece. He's another spook or a stooge. One of the two, you don't know for sure because you're not looking at their pay stubs. But So yeah, that's a very common thing, but it kind of backfires in the modern era, because the modern era makes it very easy to track, backtrack and deconstruct and reverse engineer who the spooks are.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing. And I'll say that this was 2012. We should update it and say the CIA is not so interested in posting on their own official website. They just give it to the New York Times. That seems to be more effective. And I just did a search in our archive for Feinstein CIA. I'll just 20 seconds. I don't know what it is. Let's see.
So let's focus in right here.
Do what I just slow
it down a little bit more for you?
Oh, this is reverse language. Jeez. Did we ever play that?
I don't remember it.
Someone's playing Feinstein backwards, and it sounds like she's saying the CIA paid me. Man, that was second half of show crap right there. This is my favorite.
And her head is gone.
All right. That's the only one that really matters from her. Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful system. But you're right. It's for people who know what to look for. I think we do a good job of that a lot. So we have many producers who have caught on to that and do a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's not that hard.
No.
I mean, in many cases, especially in the companies, and like the guy says, there's a bunch, one of these characters at a very high position is put into various news and
or given a title, at
communications,
least
given a good title,
yeah
and moved into the industry, got stays there, and sometimes he's incompetent. You're going, why is this guy here? Why is this gray-haired guy with the that's always overdressed with the blue shirt and the regimental tie and the Brooks Brothers suit, why is this guy here at all, and why is he paid so well, and why has he got this title, and why hasn't he been fired? Oh, well, after a while, you can get a clue about these things.
Yeah, these days, it's just Joe Biden who's like that. They give him an impressive title. The guy does, he's just mumbling and bumbling around. And hopefully you have a happy, upbeat clip to take.
No, I got no clips left. I'm done. I ran my clip list completely out.
Then I would... I put it in the show notes. I would suggest everyone go take a look or just do a quick little search for London protest yesterday. You will not hear anything about this in the M5M. Not a peep. There must have been hundreds of thousands of people.
I've never seen such. It's like the old days. It's huge, monstrous protests,
and
clogging the streets.
Yes, and you know, there's a lot of footage, a lot of, you know, live stream stuff, and you know, someone saying, hey, man, you're not wearing your mask. And then people getting in their face. And this very odd, young people have this tendency to spit on each other. This seems to be a trend. I don't think it was like that when I was young. But when they're in an argument, I'm talking, you know, millennial, 25, like, you know, maybe, let me just give you an age range. Looks like they're between 22 and 29. And they get in an argument and they're fighting. And eventually one will spit on the other and the other one will spit back. There's no fisticuffs. There's no fight that breaks out, but they spit at each other. I've seen this everywhere.
Oh, I have not noticed this yet.
And I wonder if it's a thing.
Well, the millennials are very interested. They're getting more interesting as time goes by. There was the new... I think it was episode 3 of the Kaminsky Method. The Michael Douglas.
Yes, I've seen all of it. I love that show.
Well, the new season is underway.
Well, it's the end. It's the last season.
It's the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in some interesting, some new angles. This is, some aspects aren't quite as funny as it used to be. But they do have this scene where this one girl in his class, his acting class, gets a job. And all the other students, all the other millennials,
they hate her
guts. And Michael Douglas' character, he tries to say, no, you should be happy. You should be, you know, you should be encouraging each other. You should congratulate. And he keeps giving him lectures. And as soon as he leaves the room, they all look at each other. And go, where's this guy come from? What planet is he from? We hate this girl because she got a job. And this kind of, this is a very common phenomenon amongst the millennials. This kind of, I noticed this the number of years ago when JC was getting work as a coder, because mm-hmm. he went to one of those camps he could decode.
Mm-hmm.
And
a Uyghur camp?
And he mentioned to me that all his friends are, they irked about it. Nobody's happy about it or happy for him. Huh. And he just thought, and they all, you know, it's like there's this millennials do not like, it's they want everyone to, they just like a group of people that just do not reward success with compliments or anything positive. It's just very strange. But it was portrayed in the as soon as they did it on the Kaminsky method. I said, well, there it is. There's the best example. In fact, it's very well done.
Well, hold on a second. And this is something we need to explore. So when it comes to this younger generation, I don't want to peg them with Z or millennial, but it's a trend younger. People certainly younger than we are. When it's an actual achievement, something really good, there's some kind of jealousy and spite. However, when someone does a great, you know, makeup video for TikTok or wears a cute dress, it's like, you queen, boss, you go, whoa, awesome.
That's an interesting point.
Which I think is also all, I think it's completely disingenuous for the most part,
Well, it's something that needs to be discussed or looked at a little deeper, because I don't know what the long-term effects of it are. It could be that they're just extremely competitive, or they're just a bunch of losers.
Right. Well, the good news is we have many producers in this age group, and they are very observant, and I'm sure they'll let us know.
And I'd like to know about this self-inflicted hate amongst the group.
And the spitting. Is the spitting a trend?
Well, the spitting I never heard of. I'd like to hear about that.
Is that
a United States phenomenon? Or is it a European thing?
The most recent spitting was in London.
Okay, well, that's England.
Yes, so that's not just America, but I've seen most of it in the U.S.
No, you've seen it in America.
Yeah, most of it in America and this particular... And I guess that's... Maybe it's because the reptile DNA is finally seeped through into the genes, and it's just, you know, people are turning into lizards.
Spitting toxins.
Spit. I don't know. Brand new to No Agenda Stream is Misinformed Nation, episode number 5, Circle Woke. Which will be on right after this show on noagendastream.com. Join them in the troll room, trollroom.io. We've got end of show Maxes. Nice talking today is weird. Tom Starkweather and sound guy Steve returns. And this is it, the last show from Opportunity Zone 33 here in Austin, Texas, the capital of the Drone Star State. I will remain in FEMA region number 6. But the next time you hear me, hopefully everything will be put together, coming to you from the heart of Hill Country, Texas. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's all Hill Country, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday. Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Look forward to deconstructing whatever comes our way. Until then, adios, mofos! And such.
Answer the question.
And this is real. This is an ET, right? Like, this is actual stuff that matters to a lot of people.
The pilot saw something.
Right, there's video. Sure.
We just still don't know what the heck it was.
In that case, it was a large deflating balloon.
Turns out it was a large deflating balloon.
One of the incidents was attributed to a large deflating balloon.
Why all of a sudden have UFOs become something that are reputable to talk about in public?
Just because you can't explain something doesn't mean aliens are responsible. Maybe it's because you simply can't explain it.
And this is real. This is an ET, right? Like, this is actual stuff.
That's like saying there's no evidence of, you know, that there's no evidence of pizza turning into a monster.
Why can't the United States manage to elect a decent president?
I got hairy legs.
He is not one of those great historical figures, as far as we can tell.
Well, look, I mean, he has made clear that...
Dementia is really a group of symptoms that affect one's ability to think, remember, and socialize.
The answer is, I believe he is in the past essentially acknowledged that he was... There are certain things that he would do or did do.
Everyone around the president questions his intelligence and fitness for office.
The fact is that the U.S. Contribution is the foundation to gender equity.
He's very out of touch with the current situation.
I'm going to be going around the country, spending time with American people.
I had hope and an open mind, and I have lost hope completely, and my mind is closed. This presidency is fake and failed.
The point is that what's happening is that the bottom line is what that generated was a values-driven, high-standard, transparent financing mechanism we're going to provide.
This guy is starting to lose it.
$1.9 trillion released.
Whether he's simply a buffoon,
they're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential.
Whether it's due to his age or his mental state, we are reaching a place with President Biden where facts and names, they're all elusive to him.
The Chinese saying says, women hold up half the world. It's an absolute stupid saying. I know it probably embarrasses you to point you out and say that, but you've shown that you're assaulted.
It's not just always a little bit forgetful. He's just some goofy kind of pokey-pokey dude on the world stage. The man can't finish a sentence.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Stay safe!